relentless for a cure.
For most Americans, their home is their biggest investment. Yet each year, homeowners run into financial nightmares when they mistakenly hire unscrupulous contractors. If you have plans to remodel your home, here are some warning signs to look for when hiring a home remodeler. You're told that on this job, a contract won't be necessary. You're asked to pay for the entire job up front or pay cash to a salesperson. You're confronted with scare tactics or threats. You're told you've been chosen as a demonstration project at a special low price. You're told a special low price is good only if you sign a contract today. The contractor won't give you references, or the references can't be located. You can't verify the contractor's business address. Protect your home by carefully evaluating the credentials of any contractor you consider hiring, and work with a professional you can trust. This message was brought to you by the National Association of Home Builders Remodelers Council. For more information, please visit nahb.org/remodel.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
City's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Oops. 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 Venezuela is going to be shipping 500,000 barrels of oil to China a day. They've got a contract for 5 years. As the United States, as this administration busies itself with this little plan to combine Cuba and Venezuela as the new axis of evil, common theme, brown people. But as they scurry, this administration scurries about putting together plans to get at Venezuela and Cuba. Venezuela is about its business. You think China is going to agree that Venezuela is part of the axis of evil? You think everybody else in the world is out there? Everybody else in the world is out there trying to make friends and work on business relationships with people. We have this dude in the White House that says my diplomatic plan is nuke everybody. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
The Confluence chapter of the Missouri Master Naturalist Program is offering a fall training class beginning Tuesday, August 29th. Classes will be held on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6 through October 31st at the August A. Bush Memorial Conservation Area in St. Charles. 2-day-long field sessions are also planned on September 30th and October 21st. Participants are expected to attend all sessions. The enrollment fee is $95. Class is limited to 25 participants, and enrollment will be on a first-come, first-served basis. To find out more, call 636-970-3000 or 636-300-1953, extension 244. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's made.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I want to talk to y'all about this. I would really like to get your opinion about this. I really, really would. Survivor. Really kind of the first television reality show. One that was like, they called themselves the gold star of reality shows. One of the criticisms that I have leveled it towards Survivor is the fact that it seems to be very few people of African descent. Okay? Very few people of Africa, very few people of color, period. Huh. Well, they're going to do something. They are going to start off the new season on September 14th. 20 contestants divided into teams by race, based on race. There's going to be a white team, an African team, a Hispanic team, and an Asian team. And they will be competing against one another. And I guess my question is, 20 teams divided by, 20 contestants divided by race, and then divided into 1, 2, 3, 4 teams. 5 black folks, I guess. Huh. And folks are saying that calling this segregation, we have enough polarization in this country right now to promote this as a game and even as a sport is to encourage a dark side in our American psyche. At some point, this is what Jacques DeGaff, board member of 100 Black Men and a reverend at the Canaan Baptist Church in New York, says that this is not a good idea. Some folks at another website said that the worst kinds of stereotypes could emerge. The door would be open to other offensive combinations such as pro-life versus pro-choice, religious groups against each other. They compared this to another television show called Welcome to My Neighborhood, in which white families would pick their neighbors. Well, that's not a... There's no mystery in how that would go. I see why that one was pulled. Donald Trump considered racial teams last year for The Apprentice. Huh. The people that said that there were groans from, the people that run the program said there were groans from staffers. And what is interesting is they're trying to create the buzz for their program because finally the numbers of that watch Survivor after years of viewership hovering around 20 million, last year's fall edition slipped to 18 million. Panama Exiles Island dropped to 16 million. But One person says, if they are splitting contestants up by race, it's clear they want to show racial tensions. They want the usual competitive trash talking to devolve into racial slurs. I don't buy that they are merely trying to do the right thing by presenting a more diverse cast. Would any thinking person with truly good intentions think that pitting racial groups against one another is a good way to bring diversity? You see, the Survivor says that the reason why they're doing this in teams is because they want to bring more diversity to the show. So I talked to a friend of mine last night. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to fit into the National Diversity Awareness Month. Maybe that's what they're doing. yeah, you're right. Show you're right, Howard. Show you're right. National Diversity Awareness Month. And you know, I don't know how I feel about this. I think America needs to, part of me is America needs to be confronted with this. It depends upon, now the only concern that I have is the types of folks that they picked. Did they pick the type of white folks that are going to be bucking up on white? Did they pick the type of Asian people that are going to be accommodating to white folks? Did they pick the kind of Hispanic people that you see on that show on Comedy Central where they make fun of Hispanic people in a foul way? And are they going to pick black people that are going to stand up for being African? I don't know how I feel about it. My initial reaction is not, I think I am curious to see the types of people that they picked. And if they picked strong people of color, let the games begin. I want to see a white team confronting that many people of color. I want to see how they respond to that. Let the games begin. And would America, and check this out, would America, if the white team is eliminated right away, would America continue watching? Would America howl about unfairness? I'm kind of curious about this. And would all of the teams of color say, okay, y'all out? That's how it happens, right? You're voted off, right? You voted off the island. Let the games begin. Shoot. Let the games begin. Madison.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I agree with you. I heard this about 5 days ago, and I thought, let the games begin. If it's fair, which is, you know, was going to be a real true test, if it's physical endurance, heck, we survive every day. So I don't think it's a problem. It's who they pick, like you said.
It depends upon the types of people that were picked.
Absolutely.
Because remember, they made the decision of who are the survivor contestants.
Right, right. I would love to see this in Amazing Race. I would like to see. I don't know if you've ever watched that show.
Yeah, I've been forced to watch it a couple of times.
Yeah, but I don't see a problem with it. You're right. America needs to confront this. I think we need to embrace our differences.
I think we need. I am curious to see how America will embrace this.
Yeah.
You know what? I have never watched. I've only watched maybe a snippet, maybe a total hour of Survivor, maybe. But I'm going to be watching it this year. I am going to watch this to see how it plays out. All right, Madison, thanks for your call.
Have a great day.
You too. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. I'll be back.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store. Westbound Kingbridge traffic in an earlier accident has been cleared. Still residual delays all the way back through the interstate. Westbound 270 at 367 New Florissant looks good. Eastbound 44 at Mraz and 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for No delays there as well. Westbound 64 at 5570. Northbound Route 3 on the 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays. And westbound East Bridge and westbound Kingbridge traffic looks good this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store Labor Day Sale. Right now, Ashley Furniture Home Store is celebrating Labor Day with no interest for 48 months. See store for details now in Kirkwood, South County, O'Fallon, Missouri, and Shiloh, Illinois. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear, low around 70. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. A chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the bottom of or at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
Jeff, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right.
My favorite nighttime talk show host. You see a lot of these commercials on television about erectile dysfunction. Dad, what are you talking about, erectile dysfunction? Well, son, you know, it's about the very...
Just tell the kids this is made for men who are supposed to sleep on their back. That way they can't roll over in bed.
Oh, I like that.
For a fresh look at the world around you, After Dark with Guy, 10 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Informative. Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in the government yard in Brooklyn. My peeps who passed away. No woman, no cry.
Mm. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, but get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning. Good Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Fine. I have two questions. I was wondering if the contestants were like Randall Pinker from Apprentice, and if that such a person would win Survivor, how would America react to that?
Well, I don't know the person that you're referring to because I've never watched Apprentice, so I don't know the point that you're making.
He was the first African American person to win The Apprentice, and he's highly educated, PhD in electrical engineering, MBA from Harvard and whatnot.
And so what kind of person are you talking about? Are you talking about a person that has a lot of degrees?
A strong educational background, strong physical background, whatnot.
Do you think a guy with a degree in economics from Harvard could be a survivor? Do you think that would make him
a highly intelligent person?
Well, I'm of the school of thought that a whole lot of degrees doesn't necessarily make you intelligent. I'm of the school of thought that a lot of common sense makes you intelligent. You know, I mean, George Bush. Well, no, don't you have to apologize. That's just George Bush has a degree from Harvard Business School. Okay,
right,
so you know, right. I am not impressed with the number of degrees that an individual has. For me, I'm looking for a person that is strong in their sense of being a person of African descent, and a person in addition to that that has a lot of common sense. Because it seems to me, and again, I've never watched Survivor, so I may be completely off base on this, but it seems to me that Survivor is about the ability to think quick on your feet. Survivor is about the ability to be able to understand the people that you're dealing with, and Survivor is about being able to be aggressive and want to survive. I think that people of African descent come to that because of the world that we live in here in this country. So it's going to be, to me, by dividing the teams on Survivor into racial groups, to Africans, Hispanics, Asians, whites, and African Hispanics, Asians, and whites. Yeah, they're going to divide it into those four teams. I say let the games begin.
Okay, if such a person were to win that, do you think America would be accepting of that?
Well, you know, America has already said that it's not. Look at Barry Bonds. You know, as Barry Bonds breaks record after record, America is not accepting of, has never been accepting of African people confronting sports, African people, strong African people in a lot of positions. I don't see that. But that's what makes it such an interesting proposition. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Albert.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. I, of course, have to put in my 2 cents on the Survivor. There's no way in the world that America is going to pick those teams fairly. There's no way. It's already probably been designed. That's what I think. Just from the history of this country, it's probably already been designed. They probably got their special.
But how does it work? Are they voted off by America, or are they voted off by each other? How does Survivor work?
Supposedly, I think it's by America. I think. Now, I'm not sure because I'm like you. I don't watch the show, but I will be now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it works. I thought they voted each other off. Is that how they work, Howard? Do you know? I don't know how.
I don't know either, but I guarantee you they got a trick up their sleeve.
Well, you know, there are four teams. Three of them are Asian, Hispanic, and African. If it's voting off, I have a vague recollection that they vote each other off in some circumstances. So I don't know.
Maybe be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting.
But I think we need to keep our eyes on it, though. I don't, you know, it's a, when it comes to sports, most sports, the African Americans would probably take the lead if it's an honest.
It's gonna be interesting. And Albert, I might need to get your phone number. I'm gonna put you on hold and let Howard get that information.
Sure.
Okay. 1-877-920-WGNU. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a competition for immunity. I think you're right, Howard. 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you that have just joined us, we're talking about the fact that Survivor for this season, and it starts on September 14th. And they're going to be on Cook Island. 20 contestants divided into teams based upon their race. White, Hispanic, Asians, and Africans. One person has said, and the reason why survivors said that they did this is because of complaints about the lack of diversity on survivor teams. And some folks are saying, I don't buy into it that they were merely trying to do the right thing by presenting a more diverse cast. Would any thinking person with a truly good intentions think that pitting racial groups against one another is a good way to bring diversity? Let the games begin. We need to talk about this stuff. Tyrone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Just wanted to pass some information on the way Survivor works.
How does it work?
The first season.
How does it work?
The way it is if passed, they would break it up into two teams.
Okay.
And they would, and close to the end, they would go for competition. The teams would go against each other, and the winning team would win immunity. So they couldn't get voted off the island. So the winning team come on back to their tribe, and the losing team would have to vote someone off of the losing team.
So if you keep voting a person off of the losing team. So it's
right.
A person-by-person vote.
Right.
Based
only the losing team will vote that individual off because the winning team will just throw them back to their tribe. And they will not have to worry about voting anybody off.
Oh, so it's the losing team that votes a member of theirs off.
Right.
Oh.
And each week they will have a competition. And if whichever team loses, have to go back and vote a member off that night.
Oh.
And after it makes it so far into the, after it, I don't know how long, maybe a month or 2 months, when the numbers have dwindled down, they'll go ahead and combine the tribes.
Oh.
And then when they have, after the tribes is combined and they will have those immunity issues, only one person will have immunity from that point on, not the whole team.
Oh.
And then after that person wins immunity, anybody else that's left that one joined tribe, you know, they have to vote, decide who to vote off.
Oh, okay. So it very well could come down to one team could actually be completely eliminated, right? If that team kept losing.
Right. They'll have to keep
voting
them. Somebody off, and then once the teams are joined, you know, that team may just have four people, whereas the other team may have 10.
Right.
Another team may have 15, so they'll just go ahead and knock the team with four off.
I see.
Week by week.
Okay. Thank you so much. What do you think of the idea of dividing them into by virtue of race?
Personally, I don't like it. I mean,
really?
It's just, I just see that it's one of, in my point of view, it may cause some problems.
What kind of problems are you thinking that it could cause?
Well, nothing too big, but I mean, I just think it can, you know, in some ways raise, you know, tension between, you know, some people.
Okay. Well,
I won't have a problem with it. You know, I know a lot of people won't have a problem with it, but, you know, you will have some people that will have problems with it, you know, and try to take it back to work with them or something.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to stay with me. I'll be back. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? It's time to get your shop on. It's the weekend. Let's drive on over to Union and Natural Bridge. Let's drive on in, say hello to Jerome Williams, and why don't we get some tools? Why don't we get isn't a refrigerator a stove? Why don't we get something to make our house a home, our house a palace, and experience the trifecta of a shopping? Come on. Great quality, great location, and great customer service. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, please tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline St. Louis. When the storms hit the area last month and caused power outages for several days and in some cases for over a week, there were some other factors at work besides Mother Nature. The deregulation of the utility industry over the last 5 years has created a destructuring of electrical companies. Electrical utilities used to operate their own generating facilities as well as their own distribution networks over wide areas. But just as the phone company used to be known as Ma Bell, electrical providers were also split up. This caused smaller companies to cut costs by downsizing employees and letting routine maintenance items go, such as cutting trees along transmission lines. Those new, smaller companies were not able to build new generating facilities on their own and did not have the financial means to improve their distribution systems either. The bigger companies were only too glad to sell them their electricity for large profits. California and Pennsylvania started the deregulation trend 10 years ago, and the new companies seemed to be more interested in gaining a piece of the big metropolitan areas. They were able to take away chunks of the distribution grid to provide mainly for the prime markets they wanted into. That left shortages in other areas of the country. Then last year, the Bush administration lobbied for and got a repeal of the Public Utilities Holding Company Act, which then allowed a handful of big energy entities to jump in and start swallowing up many of the newer companies that came out of deregulation. Last year, utility mergers increased 60% over the previous year, and more merger talks are currently underway. This is why over the next 2 or 3 years you are going to start to see utility costs rise, as a handful of players in the electricity business will be able to set the rates as high as they want to. By the way, the repeal of the Public Utilities Holding Company Act, which went into effect in 1935, was part of last year's Energy Policy Act, which was crafted and pushed by Vice President Dick Cheney. This is your wake-up call global news update.
The members of Congress aren't the only ones up late at night. Join the Conspiracy Hunter every weeknight from 11 to 1. That's right, the decent guy Don Griffin will be flying his black helicopter under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and around the world. Tune into the Conspiracy Hunter Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Holding back the thinking about the fear I've had so long. When somebody hears, listen to the fear that's gone.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. I think sometimes I think it's bad enough that George W. Bush is not intellectually curious. It's horrible, actually, that you have a guy sitting in the White House who has no intellectual curiosity at all. Doesn't read books, doesn't read newspapers. That's bad enough. Bad enough that he has horrible political instinct. It's bad enough that he is his MO is aggression at all costs. But the other piece of it is that George W. Bush is just mean. Just mean. Just mean. And you can see the firecrackers up the frogs in so many different things that he says. Check this out. He's talking at a press conference. And he starts talking about a man's outfit. Okay, this is a press conference on Lebanon. And he gives his whole little spiel on Lebanon. But then he takes time out to, if I ask for any comments from the peanut gallery, by the way, I'm coming back to you. By the way, Seersucker is coming back. I hope everybody realizes that. He, okay? Seersucker is coming back. So he's making fun of this man's outfit. Okay. Some people may say, that's not mean. He's just bantering back and forth. Well, later on in the saying, he hasn't let it go. Later on, when this guy asks him a very difficult question, he says, of course you have researched this issue, particularly since I dissed that ridiculous looking outfit that you're wearing. Now, what kind of president would say that to somebody? That ridiculous looking outfit that you're wearing. He came back to it. Like a mean dog with a bone, he came back to it. Particularly since I dissed that ridiculous looking outfit you're wearing. What kind of president would say that? And you know what the reporter says back to him? Your mother raised you better than that, Mr. President. Your mother raised you better than that, Mr. President. I've seen his mother, I don't think so, but it was a great comeback. You know, I've heard his mother. I've seen his mean mom. His mother raised him just like that. It was a good comeback, but wrong mother. Good comeback, wrong mother. The president of the United States, George W. Bush, says to a reporter, particularly since I dissed that ridiculous looking outfit that you're wearing, that's just what that mean little kid on the playground says to you, surrounded by all of his boys. See, he wouldn't say that to you by yourself. He wouldn't bring that to you by himself. This boy got nuclear bombs backing him up. So he going to say some stuff to your face that he wouldn't say any other time. That ridiculous looking outfit. I heard Seersucker's coming back. Ridiculous. Oh, that's mean. That's mean. So what do you think the Iraqi people got coming? If a got poor dude... A poor dude in a Seersucker suit, a poor American dude whose job is to be a member of the press corps, some poor American dude in a Seersucker suit has nothing coming. What you think Iraqi people got coming? I'm just asking. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, I'd like to make a statement concerning the ID law.
The new voter ID law? Yes, sir.
Well, it's been overturned in Georgia.
That is correct.
Yes, ma'am. But I also took it in my hands to email quite a few of our representatives and made statements on that and see if we can get something something done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a law that you know that there's a lawsuit.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a lawsuit that is being filed, that has been filed. Mm-hmm. About this. So, and they're going to be ruling on it soon.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now.
All right, Ms. Brown.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you for that action. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm out.
Them tapes you were going to give away at the Saturday meeting.
Yes.
Do you still have any of them?
I still have a few DVDs left of Loose Change, yes, and we'll have a few of them to give away on at Saturday at the Urban Institute from 9.
I don't be able to get over there on Saturday. I need a ride. But could you leave me two and I can pick them up Monday?
You can call me off the air, okay?
I did call you off the air, but I didn't know if you had done it or not.
Okay,
so.
Okay, call me off the air.
Okay.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, it is very interesting what you were talking about, the survival TV series. I would like to hear a comment by an African-American psychiatrist here. What we have, when the program first aired, I tuned in and I immediately saw that it was a cultural negativeness, infighting. Who will be the winner is pitting each other against one another. It is the worst side of human interaction activity that you can ever imagine. Adding diversity to the matter, the Muslim cultural, the Muslim cultural would probably never participate in such crap. Give me some feedback. See, it's a under behavioral science that pit one against the other, Liz. That's all what it is. It serves no good. That is my view.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Listen, folks, I on the Lou is coming up next. Irene J. Smith and myself, we have much business to talk about. We haven't talked to you in a while. We got some stuff to bring you. Stay with us.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say the progress that you made. You pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
The wind kept blowing and blowing.
She lives in Pines, Indiana, where strong storms ripped a devastating path last night. They brought down trees, knocked out power to thousands, and many people across the north and eastern parts of the state swear they saw fennel clouds. The experts will be checking out those reports today. The Weather Channel's meteorologist Matt Newman.
Some of the teams will get out there from the National Weather Service and do some surveys to actually determine if it was a tornado and exactly what the intensity was.
Those storms are moving to the east today. If you've been trying to sell your home, you know that it is probably next to impossible. And later this morning, we should get proof of it. The government's numbers on home sales are due out. They are expected to show that last month they hit a 2.5-year low. Size matters. It certainly does if you are Pluto. It's still a planet for now, but a group of astronomers is meeting today and could designate the smallest of our solar system's 9 planets a dwarf. Here's ABC's Linda Albert.
From mighty Mars to Venus, the Peacegiver hosts the planets as a celebration of the cosmos. But where, you might ask, is Pluto? Was it considered too puny, even then, to include? Actually, the planet wasn't discovered when Hulse wrote his work, nor apparently did he consider it important enough to include when it was discovered in 1930, just 4 years before his death. But a British composer thought otherwise, bringing in Pluto where Neptune left off, and where it hopefully will remain, regardless of silly squabbles over its status in space. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Murder suspect John Mark Carr has been on law enforcement radar screen in connection with the JonBenet Ramsey case since 2001. Authorities in California say they told officials in Colorado where JonBenet was killed that Carr appeared scarily fascinated with her. Police in New York City investigating a slaying of an aide to former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Martin Beretta was found strangled in his apartment. Beretta was Giuliani's deputy press secretary and later worked in public relations. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Summer Savings, going on now through September 3rd. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Summer Savings. Great tires, great deals. Going on now through September 3rd. Visit Uniroyal.com to find a participating dealer near you. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
Crime may not pay, unless, of course, she hit it big in the lottery. But eventually, the long arm of the law caught up with the New York woman. Here's ABC's Brad Wheeler.
Annie Donnelly loved to play the lottery.
Welcome to the Live Lotto and Fake.
She really loved it. The Farmingville, New York woman spent more than $2.3 million on tickets, spending as much as $6,000 a day.
39.
She won some jackpots, but not enough to cover her spending. The 38-year-old pleaded guilty to stealing all that money from her employer. She faces 4 to 12 years in prison and will have to repay the money. A prosecutor says Donnelly appeared to be caught up in the high of winning. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Have you ever gone to bed thinking you'll sleep it off? You're mad when you go to bed. Well, guess what? You're not going to do that. A Korean study says the more hot-tempered you are, the more trouble you'll have falling to sleep. And since the more sleep-deprived you are, the more angry you're likely to be, it could be the start of an exhausting cycle. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, it's believed that a woman who was hit by a Metrolink train was trying to take her own life. Police say the woman apparently jumped in front of a westbound train early yesterday morning near the Umsel North Station. Metrolink spokesperson Diane Williams says she doesn't recall anything like this happening since the light rail began operating in 1993.
I am recalling someone walked into the side of a train and they broke their arm, I believe. That's been like within the last year and a half, but that's my memory of collisions between pedestrians and the train.
The victim remains hospitalized in critical condition. She's said to be from the Washington, D.C. area. The city manager of Berkeley says he's not guilty of taking kickbacks. Joseph King was arraigned yesterday and pleaded not guilty to federal charges of bribery and mail fraud. Prosecutors allege that King took kickbacks from an insurance broker in exchange for making a favorable recommendation to the Berkeley City Council involving the city's insurance brokerage contract. Overnight ramp closures at the Highway 40 I-270 interchange will continue tonight. Both ramps from Highway 40 to southbound I-270 are set to be closed from 10 o'clock tonight until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning as crews work on the surface of the ramps. The work will continue through the start of next week. For a complete list of when each ramp will be closed, log on to MoDOT.org. Finally this hour, two organizations will be among the first in the country to receive grants from the Build-A-Bear Workshop Bear Hugs Foundation at a celebration today. The Dudevine Center for Autism and the Matthews Dickey Boys and Girls Club will each receive a $1,000 grant. Build-A-Bear Workshop will also unveil its latest bear, Champ, today. Starting tomorrow, $1 from the sale of every Champ bear will go toward the Bear Hugs Foundation. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, reminding motorists that the check engine light is a vehicle's way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. Northbound 270 at Manchester, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 and Laquede's Landing. Look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 270 at Old Hall's Ferry and New Florissant, heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road, slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at Bryan and 79, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 to the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. And I-44 is slow on either side of 109. Westbound 64 at 5570, northbound Route 3, ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, and westbound 5570 at between Tudor and Poplar Street. Look for slow traffic in the left lanes. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and more robust and made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunny today with a high in the lower 90s. This evening mostly clear. Low around 70. Friday partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday partly sunny in the morning. Mostly cloudy throughout the day. A chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, how can I think?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. Look
progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles.
Welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
So we have lots of stuff to talk about this morning, lots and lots of stuff. It's been a while since we've had a chance to chat with folks. Irene, where do you want to start?
Well, the numbers are in on the ward breakdowns for the primary election.
August 8th, the last time we were talking about the after, who won and who lost. But now I guess we need to get to the how they won, who voted for them, who put them in there, and what conclusions we can glean from these numbers here. So when we look at just when you first got the numbers and you started looking at, because we're going to talk about the fourth senatorial race right now, what were some of the things that kind of jumped out at you? Or were there some things that jumped out at
you? Yeah, the first thing, one of the first things I was interested in, first, of course, we're interested in seeing how many votes did Jeff Smith pull out of the African-American community? Mm-hmm. And it's rather interesting. It appears from the numbers that I looked at, it appears that he pulled out quite a few votes out of the 26th ward.
Which was stunning, wasn't it? I mean, really, really, the 26th ward and the 18th ward.
The 18th ward mm-hmm. were the top wards, I believe, that mm-hmm. he pulled votes out of.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Really interesting because let's go to the 26th. I mean, it's almost each precinct he pulled some votes. I mean, there was one precinct that he pulled almost 100 votes. I believe that was the third precinct in the 26th district.
And who's the alder person in the 26th?
The alder person in the 26th is Frank Williamson.
And then the committee person is
Joe Palm and Pat Moss.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Palm was running for office. He was running for the state rep seat. Williamson he had no race in front of him. This is a race that, I mean, this is a ward that really was the Clay's ward.
Right.
This was their thing.
Right. And this now keep in mind, Congressman Clay supported Yaphet Elamine, mm-hmm. who of course carried the 26th, and she carried it handily, pretty much over Jeff Smith. But the numbers were still interesting. We had her not always beating him 2-1 or 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But I said again. I look at this third precinct, he had 87 votes. And it's unfortunate because the numbers are not that high. I mean, Yaphet received 139 votes out of that same precinct. His next highest, which was, I believe, it's the seventh precinct, he received 72 votes. Yaphet El-Amin received 187 votes.
Mm-hmm. And he beat Amber.
Yes, he did. And Kenny Jones.
And, well, yeah, Kenny Jones.
And Kenny Jones.
But he beat Amber in that ward. And when we look at the number of precincts, this was one of the wards with the higher number of precincts throughout this race, or at least one, you know, the
well, they have most of the wards now have 8 precincts, mm-hmm. and the 26th ward, I believe it's 7. I may be wrong.
Okay. But, I mean, as this senatorial district is cut through different wards, you might... They might have had one precinct. They might have had 2 precincts.
Exactly.
So
right.
when we look at the numbers of precincts,
the whole ward was in the district.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to come back, have more of this discussion. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Lou. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, interim superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talen says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talen does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, and this is Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown, and we're breaking down the numbers here. The numbers are out, the ward by ward, precinct by precinct numbers are out of the August 8th election, and right now we're taking a look at the 4th senatorial race. We talked about the 26th ward and the interesting results in the 26th ward in North St. Louis. What were some of the other things that jumped out at you?
And see, that's the other thing. A lot of people don't consider the 26th ward as part of North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying most of the ward, and this is inaccurate because part of the ward is, in fact, you know, north of Delmore,
mm-hmm.
but a portion of it is south of Delmore. There's been a great deal of new construction going on, renovations going on. It's close to the 28th Ward. A portion of the ward is close to the 28th
Ward.
Above
the 28th mm-hmm. Ward. Mm-hmm.
As well as the, you know, same thing, look at the 18th Ward. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers that came out of the 18th Ward for Jeff Smith, which probably would be the next highest considered African-American ward that Jeff Smith took votes out of.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a ward that he pulled numbers out of. Amber, of course, beat him
mm-hmm.
in the 18th Ward. And, of course, Yaphet El-Amin carried
mm-hmm.
The 18th Ward. Interesting numbers, a little closer.
So the numbers, the closer we get to places like the 28th Ward. The 28th Ward, the numbers were, it was clearly, white folks are not interested in black folks in the 28th Ward. The numbers in the 28th Ward are really, I guess, consistent with the 26th Ward. If they're both abutting the same place and you're working the 28th Ward really hard, it's not surprising that you would pull some numbers out of the 26th Ward.
Right. Now, you know, 28th Ward is considered what they call a Central Corridor Ward,
okay.
and Amber, Yaphet, even Dario Cambaro
mm-hmm.
Received some votes out of the 28th, and of course I think Kenny Jones received probably less than 20 votes out of the 28th, but of course overwhelmingly that ward was carried by Jeff Smith.
And in terms of surprises out of that, there are none in the 28th Ward.
I expected him to carry the 28th Ward, and of course they supported him.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me, one of the things that I did look at, I wanted to see the number of votes that the mayor's ward carried Jeff Smith by.
Okay.
And it was quite interesting. You
and
look
the mayor
at,
and Francis Lay's ward is what?
The 23rd
the
Ward.
The 23rd Ward.
And he only carried Jeff Smith and his ward by 69 votes. And it was interesting because there were more votes in the 23rd Ward that voted for African Americans, that is, Yaphet, Amber, and Kenny, which the total number of votes for them in the 23rd Ward was like 107 votes. And when you look at the difference between Gambaro and Jeff Smith, In the 23rd Ward, you know.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Okay.
When you add up, are you saying when you add up all of the numbers that of people that voted for black folks in Slay's ward?
It's about 107.
And how many votes did Jeff Smith get?
Jeff Smith got 1,038 votes.
Okay. So the 107 votes are significant to you because...
No, I'm just saying. There were more total African-American votes than the number of votes that the mayor carried the ward for Jeff Smith.
Okay.
What I'm saying is he didn't carry the ward for Jeff Smith by many votes.
Right.
And if you add in the number of votes for the African Americans,
gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
It's even less than that.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
See what I'm saying? It's
exactly.
It's even less than that.
Because we're talking about a really white on white in white type of award.
Exactly. Exactly my point. And so when you look at it, if you add in the African American the African American votes. I mean, hey, he didn't
deliver. Jeff Smith won the ward, sure he did.
Okay.
But he didn't win by that many votes. And this is Francis Slay's ward. Francis Slay's endorsement, Francis Slay's money, Francis Slay's influence, and one of the things that you and I talked about.
And the committee people in that ward
endorsed Jeff
him.
Smith as well.
Exactly.
So when we look at all of those things, because you and I said that this race was going to be a testimony, one of the things it's going to reveal is the depth and the weight of an endorsement by Francis Slay. And yeah, he won, but if this is the guy that's sitting in the mayor's office's ward, and everybody on his team said this, and he also put money behind it and
exactly.
went on television about it. This is not much of a statement about what Francis can deliver.
Exactly, because you add in the numbers that Gambaro received and the African-American candidates received, it amounts to about 1,076 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Smith received 1,038 votes.
See?
So the mayor's ability, and we saw this in the school board
Absolutely.
Race, the race again, that he did not carry his own ward,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
That is very interesting.
I thought that was interesting.
When we add up all of the votes for people against Jeff Smith,
it's 38 more votes against him.
So, I mean, when we add in Gambaro's votes and we add in black votes, that number is what?
1,076.
And
Jeff Smith got 1,038.
So more people. So actually, Francis Lay didn't deliver Jeff Smith. If you think about it in terms of people doing what Francis Lay said to do, more people did not do what Francis Lay said to do than did do what Francis Lay said to do. So
and
he lost it.
And that's my point, is that he did not, you know, yeah, Jeff Smith carried
numerically.
Numerically, he carried that ward, but when you take a more closer look at it, mm-hmm. you know, in fact, he didn't.
Yeah,
mayor didn't deliver the ward for him. He carried it,
Francis,
no doubt. Numerically, he carried the ward.
But Francis did not deliver that ward.
Mm-mm, he didn't. His own ward.
His own ward with his own committee people, his own money, his own interest, and his own push. Francis Lay did not deliver that ward to Jeff Smith. And you and I had talked a little bit about this. You had brought up about what builders are saying out there about the influence of Francis Lay. Could you remind the audience of what the word on the street is and what the energy is out there about the administration of Francis Lay?
What builders are saying, and these are large developers, talking to some of their Republican friends where people, they obviously don't care. They're very concerned. They don't think that he is going to be the man in 2009. They really don't believe that he is going to be the one in 2009. That he is very vulnerable. That his base is shrinking,
mm-hmm.
And they're looking at his defeats.
And one of the things that I think that we can use to measure the influence and the what is being revealed about the administrative skill and the political savvy and the political ability of Francis Lay. Yesterday on the School Watch, Peter Downs was talking about how the changes that Diana Borisow, the acting superintendent, is engaging in. She has found a man who was a former superintendent who was working for Bank of America. This man has gotten a leave of absence from Bank of America to come volunteer for the St. Louis Public Schools. She has been able to get people to come on for free, all of these superintendents and people with expertise. The question then that anybody looking at the city should raise is that why wasn't Francis Lay able to, when he had control of the St. Louis Public Schools through his board board membership, why wasn't he, the only people that he was able to bring to the St. Louis Public Schools were people that were draining it of its financial resources.
Exactly. And as members of the community, and we talked about this during this time,
yes,
because it's not a novel idea. It's being done throughout the country.
Right.
I mean, it's been done right over at Peabody School.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was an article yesterday. It was a story on the news yesterday. And the, Ross and Perina has been very involved in Peabody School. And basically, you know, we talk about what can we do to improve public education.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing, it's not a rocket science, you know, reduce class size, quality teachers, safe environment, increase parental involvement.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. So has the mayor done and been involved in any of that? His goal is to destroy public education in the school. His job is to increase more charter schools, which throughout the country it is shown that charter schools are failing.
The latest report that came out on Wednesday, charter schools are failing.
Charter schools are failing. You know, then he wants the state to take over the schools, I guess in hopes of the state saying, okay, mayor, you can handle it, and all you need to do is look at Chicago. 10 years ago, the schools were delivered to Daley, and now the Chicago schools are doing worse than they were when Daley took over.
Absolutely. And again, we have to look at the leadership of Francis Lay. What are you able to deliver? You had control of the school board, and they lost dozens and dozens of points towards accreditation, and the school district has lost tens of millions of dollars since you've been there. So what can you deliver as a political person, as a mayor? I think that this race in the fourth senatorial race has indicated that he can't.
It's very interesting. You can look at the 16th ward.
All right. Yeah. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Group Health Plan. Northbound 270 before Manchester, there's an accident that's been cleared. There's still traffic jams all the way from Teson Ferry in pockets. Gravoy at the ramp to 270 northbound. Look for an accident. The left lane is blocked on a northbound ramp. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through New Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70K and Mid Rivers. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for, or Timberlake and 270, excuse me. Look for stop and go traffic going on there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic. I-44 is sporadic heavy volume around 109 and westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 at the 5570 split, westbound Kingbridge traffic, northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, westbound 5570 at Tudor Avenue. You can expect delays rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Group Health Care Plan, or Group Health Plan. Group Health Plan is an individual health insurance just for you with coverage you want, doctors you know, and prices you can afford. Call your broker or visit ghp.com to learn more today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, sunny, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear, low around 70. Friday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny, early in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? You're going to go down to Sears. You're going to go down to Union and Natural Bridge. You're going to walk into the Sears store. You're going to take your Sears card, and you are going to make your home into a palace. Yes, you are. You are going to get great customer service. You're going to get great deals, and you are going to get just a great customer satisfaction. Get on down to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
From blowing up banks to blowing the cover of the terrorists in the West, Waleed Shubat joins me, Dave Francis, on Thursday from 8 till 10 p.m. on The Dave Francis Show.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. We are crunching the numbers from the August 8th primary election. Irene, as you're looking through the numbers, what else are you seeing? What you said there's something about the 16th ward.
I was looking at the 16th ward, of course, Gumbaro.
And whose ward is the 16th ward?
16th ward is Shrewsbury's ward.
Okay.
I believe the committee people, I think Fred Cracky is a committee person there. I'm not really certain at that at this time. But, of course, Gumbaro carried that ward by, I think, over 301 votes.
And what's the significance of that to you?
Well, that's the Southside ward. Mm-hmm. And here again is endorsement for, I believe, Jeff Smith, the mayor's influence, and the Southside ward. And again, here was a ward that did not follow his lead, even more so than his ward, but still in large numbers. And you had it
a solidly Southside ward. So that's why we're looking at the 16th, because mm-hmm. it is a solidly solid Southside ward.
And you're looking at close to maybe 100 votes for African Americans, and you factor that in, mm-hmm. so you get about at least 400 and something people that said no.
To Francis.
No, Francis Slade, we're not following your lead.
And the other piece of it is what's interesting, in the 16th ward, Amber beat Kenny and beat Yaffet. And mm-hmm. I think that that's one of the few places that
happened. Let's jump over to the north and look at the 22nd ward,
right.
because that was considered to be, of course, Kenny Jones's ward.
Let's take a stroll to the 22nd ward.
Yeah, let's go to the 22nd ward.
And to the Board of Elections, and I know that you're listening. Y'all need to do a better job of, we had to cut and paste to get this stuff together to read it. So next time, try a more reader-friendly method of putting these numbers together.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the promptness with which I got the numbers emailed to me. So I want to thank them for that. Very prompt and very, very good about that.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that they definitely do better. But it's a challenge. I didn't so much cuss, but I should cut. But I sure did taste.
Yeah, cut. I mean, there's a whole lot of that going on.
A whole lot.
And it was a 500 and something page document, the way that it came to us. So, yeah, a lot of pasting involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so 22nd
ward. 22nd ward, with which, of course, Elamine carried overwhelmingly. And it was interesting because this is the ward that Kenneth Jones came out of.
And we have seven precincts in it.
Seven precincts in the 22nd ward. Mm-hmm. Jay Ozier is the committee man, and I think Faye Davis is the committee woman. They endorsed Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Boyd supported Yaffet Elamine.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about the 22nd ward, a substantial portion of that ward is the old first ward,
mm-hmm.
though. Okay. And of course, Yaffet is the committee woman of the first ward and became the committee woman prior to redistricting.
Okay.
So that has to also factor in. Of course, she was supported by Jeffrey Boyd. But I give more weight actually to her than to Jeffrey Boyd in terms of influencing the people in that ward. But it was very interesting. I mean, let's just look at the Amber and Kenny Jones numbers, you know. In every precinct, except for one precinct.
The fifth precinct?
The seventh.
Okay.
Yeah, the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two precincts. And one in the fifth precinct, neither one of them got any votes.
Right.
Out of, okay. But in the sixth precinct, Kenny beat Amber by 12 votes, just 12 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the seventh
precinct?
Just by one vote,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And the number, Amber received, Yaffet was 689, I believe. Amber was 281.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny was 133. Jeff Smith votes were really kept down at 60 votes.
Right.
And Dario Gumbaro got 7 votes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I must have missed, because I was sure I'm only having 4.
No, I have 7.
Okay. But I may have missed some absentees or something,
mm-hmm.
because I thought it was 4 precincts where he got no votes out of.
No, he had 3 out of the first precinct, And, well, anyway, I have seven.
Okay.
I have seven.
Okay,
so what other wars should we be looking at?
I see where you, and that's the problem, challenging problem with these, because that's actually the total from another precinct.
Okay.
And because he got zero out of the first precinct. This is the 21st. Let's look at the 21st, which really only, which was the one of the wards, the 21st and the 19th, was one of the wards where you only had maybe one precinct. And out of that ward in the senatorial race.
Okay.
And this is a race, of course, that some were feeling that, okay, this was going to be Amber Barkin's ward.
Mm-hmm.
The precinct that she would just carry overwhelmingly. And, of course, that was not the case.
Well, we only had one precinct.
We only had one precinct.
Mm-hmm.
But it was considered that this would be the ward that, you know, she would have some strong support. However, that's not the case.
No, she got 103 and Yaphet was 95.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny got 13 out of that, and Jeff Gambaro got 1 and Jeff got 20.
I don't know. Our numbers differ a little bit, but this is certainly close close in terms of.
Okay, I'm looking at the first page.
Right.
I'm looking at the first page.
Right.
Okay.
Really, not very much.
Mm-hmm.
Not very much at all.
And I think we need to remind people as we look back at this race with Amber, we need to remind people that when Amber, the challenge always to Amber was the fact that her state rep district had less of it in the fourth senatorial district than Yaphet's state rep district did. So the challenge was, insofar as the pursuit of African votes and familiar African votes, Yaphet had the advantage because more of her state rep district was in the fourth senatorial district than Amber's.
Yeah, and so then the question again would become, as I guess was asked or considered, is like with less of a base,
mm-hmm.
Why was the decision made to run? Mm-hmm. And of course, the factor would be the compelling factor would be is because she could not run again for her state
rep. That's
right.
Seat. And she had served 8 years as a state rep, and she wanted to go to be the Senate.
Exactly.
Senator. And again, that's why the decision making should have been in terms of, okay, we're still talking about black votes, and we're still talking about mining for black votes. So it's not. And when you add up all of the black votes, if you split up Amber's and Yaphet's votes, those two votes combined, Jeff Smith would have lost. So if we were going to pull out the votes that Amber pulled out, and we were going to pull out the votes that Yaphet pulled out, if there had been one black candidate in the race, Jeff Smith would have lost when you combine those two numbers. So. That's one thing to consider as well when we look at these numbers. We have a couple more minutes before our break. Irene, what else do you want to look at in terms of these numbers?
Let's look at the first ward.
Okay.
Let's look at the first ward.
Okay, what would you like to say about the first ward?
Interesting. One of the things, and I think sometimes candidates, we have the challenge of making sure we kind of sometimes assume that our base is going to turn out for us. And in the first ward, of course, Yaphet and her husband, Taladin El-Amin, are the committee people. And the turnout in the first ward was not that great.
What, 1391?
Mm-hmm. It was not a great turnout in the first ward. And, of course, Yaphet carried the first ward. What was interesting is, like, I think it was a fifth precinct that she beat Amber by seven votes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really kind of interesting. You go down to the seventh precinct, still real close. You know, and that's moving closer to the 21st ward. So you have her beating her by about five votes. Interesting. Jeff Smith kind of chunked up a little. In the first ward,
less than 100.
Less than 100. And, of course, Confluence Academy, the North Side Confluence Academy is located in the First Ward.
Mm-hmm. So there really should have been more votes than that. When you think about that, that's where the school is located.
That's where one of the campuses for Confluence Academy is located. Interesting, you had the former Alderwoman Perry May supporting Kenneth Jones. Was not able to do him very much good at all. In
69 votes.
In fact, they did a phone blast, which actually that was paid for by, according to the phone blast, by Carla May's committee. But the voice, of course, on it was the former Alderwoman, Perry May, but apparently she couldn't make very much impact because she was only able to pull out 69 votes for
Dario got 10 out of the first ward. I want to find out where those votes came from. We're going to come back. We have some scoops. We have some word on the streets. We have some very interesting letters that are circulating up in Jefferson City and some heads up. This cool stuff is real, folks. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Baghdad. The government of Iraq says it's going to set up its own independent panel to look into the rape and murder of a 14-year-old girl by American soldiers who are currently in custody. Chief Prosecutor Adnan Mahmoud says a trial will be held in absentia if necessary. The killing of the girl, her 5-year-old brother, and her parents took place March 12th in Mahmoudia and has caused a divide between American forces and a large part of the Iraqi population. 5 soldiers have been arrested and are facing a military hearing later this month to determine if a court-martial is appropriate. An independent investigation was promised by Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who wants the soldiers handed over to Iraq for a trial. He says they should not enjoy immunity from prosecution because they were not engaged in a military action when they committed their crime. The investigating panel will make its report to the Iraq cabinet, which will then have to decide what to do with those findings. And Dateline Washington. The Department of Education is chastising the majority of states for failing to develop good plans detailing how they plan to gain high-quality teachers under the No Child Left Behind regulations. The plans were turned in early last month and were supposed to detail how they ensure every core subject will be taught by a highly qualified teacher. NCLB calls for every student in the country to be reading and doing math at grade level within the next 8 years. The law wants those highly qualified teachers to be evenly divided between poor and rich districts and between minority and white schools. Missouri was one of a few states who failed to turn in those plans by the deadline, saying it would get to it later down the line. The states were supposed to present figures on how many classes in poor and minority schools were being taught by unqualified teachers, or those who are instructing out of their field of expertise. Some of the blame does rest on the federal government itself, however, because it did not provide much guidance or leadership on how to construct that information. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
Scientists have discovered a way to reanimate dogs that have been dead for 3 hours. They fill you up with salt. They season you is what they do. It's a marinade, for lack of a better way to put it. So I guess realistically speaking, they could do this in China, right? So they fill the dog full of salt water. If it doesn't work out, the dog dies. Hey, you know, just General Chow's chicken in the end. It all works out. Something about the zombie dog where you put salt water in them, kill them, and then revive them hours later, and the idea that it's intended for human trials. Who would volunteer for that?
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU, and this is Thursday, and so this is Eye on the Lou. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, there were some things that you and I speculated about during the course of this race in the 4th Senatorial District. I know for myself, education is a very, very, very important factor, as many of you heard on the Global News Report, how important education is. And it's always been the concern, and you and I have talked about this, of the influence of the voucher people and the influence of the charter school people, that they are both the fruit of the same poisonous tree. And we were always concerned about what particular candidates' positions were on the issue of charter and on the issues of voucher. There's a disturbing letter that came from Jane Cunningham, a right-wing Republican who was one of the main voucher advocates in the state of Missouri. Well, let's take a look at this letter.
Yeah.
I mean, or this email. Exchange.
Email exchange. It's real interesting. I mean, you know, the subject of it is her political analysis of the election for all children matter. And I guess as a lot of us indicated and we discussed during the school board race as well the senatorial race was the position of certain candidates and certain of our state reps with respect to vouchers and this whole kind of misleading concept of school choice in my estimation. And basically it's an email, and it's to Chad
Goatee.
Mm-hmm. And it purports to be from Jane Cunningham, who again is tied into All Children Matter, and they're discussing the outcome of the elections, and their hero is, truthfully so, their hero is Rodney Hubbard. They say he's truly a hero.
Thanks for the thorough report. Rodney Hubbard truly is a hero, end quote.
Mm-hmm. And then this is what, it's not surprising we pointed it out, and he didn't run from it. I mean, he was very honest about the fact that he supported vouchers and choice. And that is, I was sorry about the 4th senatorial. I like Dario Gambaro a lot. We worked together on school choice when the Democrats were in control.
Here's the interesting part of this email exchange.
This is the interesting part. Yaphet Elamine was more with us than you all may have realized. Her husband should prove to be an asset next session. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Wait a minute. Let's let that sink in for a second about what Jane Cunningham, who is holding Rodney Hubbard out as a hero, and he is a true, unashamed advocate for vouchers, and he carries their water. He is all with them on that issue. The question always was, is where is Yaphet on this? And quite frankly, Yaphet lost a lot of support because of what her mixed signals were, and that's why she didn't get the endorsement from the teachers' union because of this. So now we have this letter coming out from Jane Cunningham saying Yaphet was more with us than you may have all realized, and her husband should be an asset next session. That was one of the issues that we raised about the concern about this concentration of power, that you're going to have the same type of issues you're going to have. And they already know that. That to me, as a person of African descent, thinking that this woman, Jane Cunningham, knows more about Yaphet El Amin's husband on his position than the African community does, that's awful.
It's awful and it's problematic. And it goes back to the point, who controls our elected officials?
Who controls
our elected officials? And I submit to you, as we have on various occasions, is that we have to control our elected officials. We have to assist them in becoming elected.
Yes,
we have to provide financial support to them when they are running for office.
Pressure when they do wrong.
When they do wrong, you have to put pressure.
Support when they do right. And that's why everybody needs to come to the Urban Institute on Saturday at 9 to 11. We have our committees formed. We have our education committee. We have our public safety committee. If you're interested in joining one of the committees, our committees have now been formed. Come on out on Saturday as we try to address this. And I kind of want to, if I can, Irene, give a heads up, because this comes from the Democrats. This is another email from the Democrats. This is a heads up. This is why we have to always be prepared. The Republican Party is forming during the summer. They have formed an interim committee on school choice. And they put as the chairman of that committee Ted Hoskins. And the Democratic Party is all up in arms because the Republicans told Ted Hoskins, as the chairman of this new Committee on School Choice, you get to pick the Democrats that are going to be on that committee.
Exactly.
And this is what the email says. The speaker is forming an interim committee on school choice. Unfortunately, he is breaking the traditions of the House and not allowing our office to name the Democratic members. Please contact our office if you have any questions about this committee or have been contacted about this committee. The Republicans are on this voucher tip.
They are
on it. They have the money for it. They lost a couple of Sandy Colquitt lost significantly. That was a huge loss for them. But they're on this, and they are going to be trying to apparently come through Yaphet El Amin's husband to get this done.
I think it's going to be interesting to see the Democrats that Ted Hoskin picks to be on this interim committee on school choice.
None of them, it's my understanding that none of them are, besides Rodney, none of them are from the city of St. Louis or from the Kansas City side. So there's one, Rodney, from this side of the river, and the other side of the river is Kansas City.
So you understand how important it is for us as community to organize, mm-hmm. to get the necessary information, and to move this issue head on. I mean, I just have to give it to them. I mean, coming up with this concept of choice. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody likes to have a choice about what they do in their lives. And they are...
It's deceptive.
It is. It is very deceptive when you look at the meat of it and you look at who will really benefit from this. And it is not the children that attend the St. Louis Public Schools.
Never has been.
Now I'm not going to say that there may not be particular families or individual families who might benefit, but overall... collectively, our children would not benefit.
And we can ill afford to say, okay, well, the Jones family over there, they benefited for it, and everybody else's family failed with it, so let's go with it because the Jones family did good with it. That's not a collective assessment, and that is detrimental to the interests of our community.
Very definitely it is. So come to the Institute. This Saturday.
This Saturday, a continental breakfast will be served. You know what? We're also we're looking for somebody that might be interested in cooking some meals for a breakfast. for the Urban Institute. If you would be interested in doing that or trying to do that, email me at revolution@lizbrown.com or call me here at the station. But in the meantime, come on down to the Urban Institute Saturday at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor. Irene J. Smith.
See you real soon.
All right, now, and we'll be continuing on with Justice for Reggie with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Size matters. It certainly might for Pluto, which might not be a planet later today. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
With the help of Schoolhouse Rock, we all learned there are nine planets.
Pluto, little Pluto, is the farthest planet from our sun.
Astronomers vote this morning whether to demote Pluto to dwarf planet.
The best definition I can think of for a planet is that it's the big dog in its neighborhood of the solar system.
And UCLA astronomer William Moore says Pluto is not.
It's very tough to let Pluto in without letting in a lot of other things.
Scientists briefly considered letting in those things and expanding the list of planets to 12. Now it looks like Pluto won't make the cut, Daria.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. It was a wet and wild night across much of the nation. Strong storms brought down trees and power lines in parts of Indiana. There are several reports of funnel cloud sightings. The experts will check it out today. It was also bad across parts of Texas.
These storms just popped up out of nowhere yesterday, and they were isolated but quite strong. But they've had quite a streak of hot weather, 23 days of temperatures at or above 100 this month. They're going on a record there, and the heat will continue. The storms look like they'll weaken somewhat.
ABC meteorologist Gerard McNiff, are you trying to sell your home? It's not easy these days. We get proof of it from the government later this morning with reports that home sales hit a 2.5-year low last month, already out the durable goods number, down nearly 2.5% in July. We're learning more about what John Mark Carr told police after his arrest last week in Thailand. People Magazine obtained a transcript of the conversations and shared it with ABC News.
People Magazine is reporting that Carr was speaking freely to Thai authorities last week after his arrest, sounding like a man who wanted to be convicted. The media is beginning to shut up about me being crazy and all that stuff, he said. This is not a laughing matter. It's something serious.
ABC's Heather Nauert in Boulder, Colorado. This is ABC News.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time Nationwide Clearance Event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the 5-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota Time event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on our applicant complete total passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 5-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paints starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Controversial, you could say that about the upcoming season of the TV show Survivor. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
This is definitely going to be a unique Survivor.
Host Jeff Probst announced 20 new contestants will be divided into four tribes. One for blacks, one for whites, one for Hispanics, and one for Asians.
It is a social experiment on a level that we've never done before.
Probst admits it was a risky thing to do and says CBS was worried some viewers might be offended. But segregation is a part of history that can't be ignored. Survivor Cook Islands premieres September 14th. Dave Alpert, ABC News.
It's home of the happiest place on earth, Walt Disney World, but a new survey says people in Orlando are furious. The Florida city topped men's health list of the nation's 100 angriest cities. The magazine based the rankings on number of men with high blood pressure, workplace-related deaths, and road rage. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bransmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Metrolink officials are trying to calm nerves about potential safety concerns regarding their rail system. On Tuesday, the arm of a rail car snagged on a wire and broke a window, injuring 5 passengers. Metro CEO Larry Salcy says passengers can be assured that this type of problem won't happen again.
It's never happened before. It shouldn't have happened. We've been performing these kinds of activities, you know, for months, frankly, and it won't happen during revenue service because this kind of work won't be ongoing. It was some remedial work. It was very, very rare, and it was unfortunate. It did damage to the pantograph, but that's already been repaired.
The cost to replace the arm is about $15,000. Early yesterday morning, a woman was critically injured when she apparently jumped in front of a train near the UMSL campus. Salcy says that incident isn't believed to be a safety issue for Metrolink. The strike in the Wolf Branch School District in Swansea appears headed into a second week. The striking teachers in the school district met with a federal mediator last night, but there's no word of a settlement. The district says it can't afford the raises the teachers want because it needs to address a $2.6 million deficit. But the teachers' union says the district can't afford to give the teachers what they're asking for and pay down the deficit at the same time. Finally this hour, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin will be in Edwardsville this afternoon to talk about the nursing shortage. Durbin will hold a roundtable discussion at the SIU Edwardsville School of Nursing with faculty, students, recent graduates, and representatives of area hospitals. Durbin will outline his plan to address the nursing shortage in the Midwest and nationwide. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Shell. Making plans for the weekend? Stop by Shell. All of their gasolines not only surpass government standards, they meet top automakers' highest standards. Shell, made to move. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way into through the Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers, you've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake all the way to 270, stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge, that traffic has returned back to normal. Northbound 270 at 55 all the way to Big Bend, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. And in both directions, 44 from Six Flags through Williams Road, look for a very heavy volume. All your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked at this hour, as well as the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge. So just use some caution rolling through that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school. Through September, donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunny skies today, high in the lower 90s this evening. Look forward to mostly clear skies, low around 70. Friday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently, we have 66. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of the sisters.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. It's Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means that it is time for Justice for Reggie. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty
good. Okay. We're going to do something very special and interesting this morning, I think. I think that this is going to be something that when people take a look or try to have an opinion about issues that pertain to people that are incarcerated, issues that pertain to Reggie, when they try to imagine Reggie and who Reggie is and what Reggie is going through, I think what we're going to talk about this morning is really going to go a long way to help explain and make it real, or as Malcolm would say, make it plain for folks the world that Reggie is living in as a result of racism, as a result of incompetent attorneys, as a result of racist and politically ambitious and lawless prosecutors, and of a criminal justice system that pursues people based upon their race. This is going to help towards that.
Absolutely. And before we get started, Liz, I just want to let people know that the Know Your Rights workshop that we had this past Monday went very, very well. We had a full house. Fahima only wanted 25 for a good mix, and we definitely had that, and it was good cross-section of people, intergenerational. We had a group of law students from the Black Law Student Association from WashU who are going to train their members as part of their mentoring one of the high schools. So they'll be using the Know Your Works workshop for those young people. And so we're hopeful that some of those people will be conducting trainings throughout the year. But we also have the last session for the American Justice segment on the Bridge murders coming up on Monday. And so instead of our regularly scheduled meeting, we'll be at Legacy Books at 7 o'clock p.m. And then, of course, we have the big birthday bash on August 31st for Reggie Clemens. So we want people to definitely mark.
And that's
going to
be where?
That's going to be at the Heman Community Center. And people,
that's in U City.
That's in University City. It's on Pennsylvania Avenue, so don't go south in the city of St. Louis. It's in University City at the Heman Community Center, and that's right off of Olive Street Road. And people should remember that we want you to bring a completed petition that goes to the governor, and you can get that online by going to www.justiceforreggieclemens.com. So we're going to have a good time there, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit more, too.
Okay.
But, you know, meanwhile, we have a guest in the studio today, and I've known Brother Takuma for a long time, since he was a teenager, actually, before he got sucked up into the criminal system, the prison industrial complex. But one of the reasons that we wanted Takuma here is because he was also a resident of Potosi, and we were discussing off the air that it's in correctional center, not correctional center.
Right.
But Takuma was there from 1990 to 2001, and actually the prison opened in 89, so he was one of the first residents there and kind of helped to see how it evolved.
And this is so important. I just want to kind of underscore what you're saying for the audience here. This is, we want it kind of to, you can't really do a day in the life of, so we want to try to paint a picture of what days were like in Potosi so that you can understand some of the things that Reggie Clemens has had to endure while being incarcerated and out of this wicked injustice system here. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and have more of a conversation with Jamala Rogers, and we're going to talk to Takuma. And let him paint a picture of what life was like in Potosi. I'm Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us.
Message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. This is part of the Wake Up Call. My guest, as always, is the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign, Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And set it up for those that may have just joined us for what we're getting ready to do.
For those of you who just joined us, we have in the studio Brother Takuma, who was a resident of Potosi Center for over a decade, and he's actually there when Reggie was there from 1990 to 2001. But before we get to Takuma, I just want people to know, because a lot of times there is very little interest in the prison system, because people say, I don't, you know, they're there probably because they deserve to be there. But I always try to bring people back to the fact that tax dollars, their tax dollars are being used to do whatever the prison system is doing or not doing. And we have approximately $580 million budget for 21 institutions in the state. And there's approximately 100,000 folks in that system. And I'm talking about 30,000 in the actual prison systems, and then you have like those on probation and then another in treatment. So that's a huge amount of people.
It's a huge amount.
That's enough for a small city.
And it was a point that was noticed by on a mic on a 60-minute interview with the president of Iran when he was talking to Mike Wallace, saying 1% of your population is in prison. You all need to focus on your issues. 1% of your population is in prison.
Yeah, we topped 2 million this year. So that's a lot of people.
That's an obscenity.
And it's an obscenity, but it's also an area that we need to start shining some light on. Mm-hmm. So Takuma was in the system, like I said, from 1990, and Potosi was actually built in 89 as a C5, and one of the first C5s. That means that it was the highest level of security. So all the folks who had, you know, life sentences without parole or death sentences, and we were having a discussion in the hall about the way that death row inmates got there. You want to start with that, Takuma, and then kind
of
talk about.
Let me say good morning to all the listeners, and thank you, Jamala and Liz, for inviting me here this morning. Yes, it was very interesting how we was talking about it, how we got to talking about Potosi prisons in Missouri and Potosi in particular. But the best way I can describe how Reggie and a lot of other prisoners feel is for listeners to possibly imagine you feeling bad on your worst day. Just imagine prisoners, people like Reggie, and especially people like Reggie who have been wrongfully convicted. These folks, these brothers are feeling like this 24 hours a day. You know, imagine how you feel at your worst possible moments. That's how these brothers are feeling every day. So it's like it's hell on earth.
Well, walk us through it. Walk down the halls of Potosi and tell us what you see. Tell us what you hear. Tell us what how you're being treated. What is that like? Before we even get into the cell, just the halls of Potosi. What is that like?
The unimaginable physical feeling of being there is really indescribable. But Potosi, like any other prison or jail, it's a breathtaking experiment. It's hell on earth. The smell, the sounds, the sight.
What does it smell like?
It smells like human waste. It actually smells like most of the prisons smell like wet tobacco. Imagine tobacco smoke from cigarettes just penetrating the walls, the floors, the air constantly 24 hours a day, on top of human manifestation, spit, piss, It's bad. It's bad.
What do the colors look like? What do you see when you walk down? Can you take us back to Kumatu, the first day that you walked into Potosi? What did you see?
The first day, it's like every day. You see the same walls. You see a lot of steel. You see a lot of lifelessness. Even though you see bodies, you don't see life. You don't see any green grass. You see barbed wires. You see a lot of guns. You see a lot of walls. You see a lot of brick. You see a lot of numbness. Even from people who work there, you don't see liveliness. You know, you don't see joyfulness.
And what about the prison guards? What is the experience interacting with them like?
A lot of my personal experience with the guards hasn't been too memorable. In that I didn't have a lot of relationship with the guards, but I know from other experiences that a lot of them are poorly educated, a lot of them are poorly paid, a lot of them are not in sympathy with
the plight of the prison.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do they say to you? How do they treat you?
A lot of them see it as a job. However, there are a small percentage of them see it as more than a job. A lot of them see it as going beyond just doing what their job description tells them to do. In other words, a lot of them are there where they supposed to meet out a certain amount of physical force to make a certain arrest. A lot of them will go beyond that particular job description to do something extra, to put another kick in, and or to put another, you know, to your head.
So you saw guards hitting and beating other people?
Most definitely, on a regular basis.
A regular basis, what does that mean? Every day?
That means like from moving one prison, for example, from one cell to another cell. A lot of times they use excessive force and just doing normal duties such as moving prisoners.
When you see excessive force, what are some of the things that you see?
A lot of times you see guards hitting inmates, usually in the back. You see them kicking them. You see them spitting on them. I mean, the whole gamut. They do it all.
So that's all part of the kind of control and keeping people in check.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what the courts have required, it's been so much of, the courts have required the prison authorities to use, like, cameras, video recordings, doing these cell movements, however they know how to get around those too. They cut them off, or cut them, clip them, and so they pretty much mastered the art of abusing folks.
So when you look at the prison, what more black folks than white folks, and what do the guards look like? More white guards than black guards? How does that look?
Definitely more whites than blacks. I think in my 11 years at Potosi, I've seen one black guard, and he wasn't there probably no longer than several months.
One black guard in 11 years?
Exactly, yes.
Did the guards use the N-word when they talked to you all?
Oh, most definitely.
And then some, huh?
And some more, yes.
So when you look at the fact that you have these institutions in rural areas, and in fact around Potosi, you have three a four clustered within a 15-mile radius. You have Farmington, Bonterre, you have Potosi. And one of the things that always struck me when Representative Troop used to talk about it, and I considered him like the resident expert on prisons because he was over that corrections committee for a long time, is that these folks see prisons as part of boosting up their economy.
Exactly, exactly. Potosi is like the other prisons, Bonterre, Farmington, and all the other ones are in these very economically distressed areas, southern and southeastern Missouri. And what you'll find, a lot of the prisoners are poorly educated. And
Did the prisoners talk about that? Did you all understand that you were there to help the economy of the places that you were, the prisons were located?
Yes.
Did y'all talk about that?
Yes, a lot of prisoners like myself, sadly as it is, I was in prison for something that I did. However, a lot of prisoners come to jail, go to prison, and they become aware of what has happened to them and begin to understand why they're in prison. And a lot of times we realize that, yes, we're there to boost the economy. Prisons are industries. They make a lot of money and they invest in people, in black people and poor people.
We have to take a break. I'm here talking to Takuma, former resident of Potosi. I'm also here with Jamala Rogers. This is Liz Brown. Justice for Reggie Thursday. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back with this discussion. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. In both directions, Olive at Creekport Mill, there's an accident, left lane is blocked. Southbound 270 at St. Charles Rock Road, an object on the roadway reportedly to be a cooler. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and 170, look for heavy volume in pockets. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge, look for traffic to be easing. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT is working hard to make I-44 smoother and safer for motorists. Remember to stay alert and be aware of night work. Drive smart, arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, sunny, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Friday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny early in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of showers, high around 90. Currently, we have 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me tonight at 7:05 after the news as we circle the bases right here on Radio 920. We'll get our roundtable panel together to talk about what's happening in the world of sports. It's going to be lively, and it goes in any direction, and that's what makes it fun. Make sure you listen to us tonight on Circle the Bases, 7:05 right here on Radio 920.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with, my name is Liz Brown, and I am here with Jamala Rogers, the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign. And we are talking to Takuma, a former resident of Potosi. We're trying to give you all a sense of feel and understanding of what day-to-day life is like behind bars, behind walls, courtesy of the United States of America. And Takuma, we were talking off the air about money, how money is used in the prison, how what happens to money, and how prisoners are able to get the things that they need. Can we start with what you have when you walk into a prison?
Yes.
What do you have at your disposal? Do you get soap? Do you have water? Do you have shampoo? What do you have?
Actually, you have basically nothing. You have nothing.
You have clothes on your back.
You have the state clothes on your back.
Okay.
They when you first come to prison, they strip you of everything, including your dignity, because one of the first things they require you to do is bend over, spread your buttock, and examine you. And a lot of times, you know, prisoners will resist that type of treatment from the start. And so you are met with a lot of physical force and what a lot of prisoners consider rape. So you come to prison with nothing but the state clothes on your back.
Do you have shoes on your feet?
You have not shoes in the terms that we know shoes. You have like flip-floppers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you have this orange outfit or this whatever color outfit it is. And
basically
you have
a jumpsuit, a state issue, right. Orange probably jumpsuit with letters on it describing what type of jail you just come from.
Do you have underwear?
In most cases, you do.
Okay. They issue you underwear.
Exactly.
Okay. So you have issued underwear, you have a jumpsuit, and you have flip-flops. Do you have anything else?
You have nothing else. You even your most valuable jewelry, like, say, for instance, a wedding ring, you cannot even have that at that time. So you a script of everything.
So do you have shampoo? Do you have soap?
At some point.
Do you
point,
have deodorant?
Yes. At some point, after they get you documented and assign you to a certain system or area of the jail, they eventually issue you soap, toothpaste for one time only. And from then on out, you have to come up. You have
so
to
no
figure
what
out how to buy.
So no matter what the length of sentence is, you get when you walk in the door, you get one toothbrush. You get one bar of soap.
You get one small, not a hotel size soap.
And then do you get shampoo?
No.
Okay, so you get one small bar of soap, one toothbrush, the jumpsuit, and your flip flops and underwear. That's what you get, and you only get that issue to you once.
And you get some state issue clothing, probably two pair of pants, a shirt, and a t-shirt, and undershorts.
Okay, but that's it.
That's it.
You get it issued once and no more.
Well, actually, you get an issue yearly.
Yearly.
You get your clothes issued yearly. But
okay.
As far as the necessaries like toothpaste and toilet tissues, and you get that once. And from then on, you have to come up with means and methods of purchasing your own toothpaste and soap and toilet paper.
So take us to the canteen. How does that work?
The canteen is basically ran by the state. They have issues. They issue out just about a lot of the basic things we have out here: toothpaste, soap, toiletries, candies, cigarettes.
Stamps.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you have to have money sent in from outside to purchase these type of items.
Do you have, let's say, for instance, your mother were to send you a check for $25. Do you see that check for $25 and then you take it to the canteen? Or what? How do you get money to the canteen to buy the toilet paper that you need?
The system is computerized where the check that your mother sent, for instance, to an inmate is sent to Jefferson City, and that money is put, like, on the account for the inmate. So when he goes to the canteen at the prison, his money that his mom sent may or may not be registered for that week. Now, if it is registered, he's lucky. He can go to the canteen. But if it's not, he more than likely have to wait a week or two before he can spend that money that someone sent him.
So does your mother send the check to Jefferson City, or do they just send it to you?
They send it to Jefferson City.
So how do you know how much money is in your account?
You have to basically rely on the people who sent you the money.
So they could tell you that you have $15 in there, but you could have $1,500 in there. You would never know.
Well, actually, when you go to the canteen, you can check your account time.
How do you check your account?
You ask the canteen operator how much you have on your account.
So you're still relying upon them to tell you what is in there. There is no independent way that you or anybody else can check your account to find out how much money you have in there. You have to rely upon what they tell you is in your account.
Exactly.
And that's why we have to tell people that, you know, when you send money to an inmate, you think you're doing good, but if that inmate doesn't know that you sent it, there's no way for them to keep checking and say, I'm expecting $25, and therefore, from week to week, that should be up by $25. So the accounting for the canteen is something that we have not really been able to follow. And there's lots of money coming through there. And the canteen basically is supposed to go, the money from the canteen is to help the inmate.
Exactly.
And programs. But exactly. It doesn't really happen that way. And so you have basically, you know, an enterprise within the system that somebody is benefiting from, but certainly not the inmate.
And we can't get into find out how much money flows through the campaign. I mean, through the canteen. What does a bar of soap cost? Is it normal market price for a bar of soap?
Yes.
Or toilet paper?
Most of the items are market price. Yes, most of them are typical of the prices we pay for soap and toiletries out here.
But Liz, think about the people who don't have families who can support
exactly.
them.
That's the issue here, because a lot of times a bar of soap may cost $1.50. However, to someone who don't have but $1.50, so he can't buy that bar of soap, or he can't buy that.
Can you earn money in prison if you don't have any money coming into you?
Yes, you can. You can work at the various different places to work, like food service, but the pay is very minimal.
What is that? When you say very minimal, what is that? Like 75 cents an hour or something like that?
No. The pay in food service started at $7.50 a month. I believe the most you can make is probably $30 a month.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let's get to a couple of callers here. Regina.
Yes. I'd like to commend the gentleman for coming on the air and talking about the Potosi Correctional Center, because I had a son that was incarcerated. So he's still incarcerated now, but not in Potosi anymore. My thing is this, my son had so many write-ups and used to call home and complain that the guards they just pick fights at you. The young man is not mine. I had to hear it from another prisoner. And it had got to the place with my son where he said every time they would see certain young men in the hallway, they would hit them with nightsticks, they would hit them or kick them or knock them down, and then try to play it off as if they didn't do nothing. Then caused big disturbances in the prison, caused the prison to be shut down, and my son had been caught up in some where a guard had jumped him really bad. You know what I'm saying?
All right,
so yes, I believe what the young man is saying, and you got a lot of heart, and I commend you for coming on the radio and busting out some of these prisons, because there's a lot of them in Cameron, Missouri, and a lot of other prisoners. Officials, officers that's in the prison system need to be bussed out. Because the name calling, it happens. I believe it.
All right. Now, thank you, Regina. Guards set you up. They pick fights with you in order to give you write-ups so that you can't get advantages from not having write-ups.
Yes, they do. One of the things they do a lot, they have to project this prison as being one of the worst of the worst. So a lot of times, guards will create situations where they create situations that cause a prisoner to subsequently go on lockdown. Like what Regina just talked about, her son, was it, who was involved in an incident where he was beat up. Well, a lot of times the guards definitely cause these types of situations to perpetrate for Tulsa being the worst of the worst.
And they get more federal funding when it's the worst of the worst.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign, Jamala Rogers, and our special guest, Takuma, former resident of Potosi. We will be back. We'll take some more of your calls and comments when we get back. Please stay with us. Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to find washers and dryers and refrigerators and stoves? You're going to find it right in your neighborhood. You don't have to take out a bank loan to fill up your tank. It's right here in the city of St. Louis, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis, and it's right where you live at Union and Natural Bridge. You need a washer, you need a dryer, you need a TV, you need to make your house into a palace. Get on down to Sears. Tell Jerome Williams, I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline San Francisco. Most of those products you are purchasing from big chains such as Walmart, Target, and Home Depot are being turned out by people in slave labor camps in China. They were set up by Chairman Mao back in the 1950s and are designed around three types of classes: convict labor, re-education through labor, and forced job placement. All three classes have political ramifications. The Chinese government throws people in jail if it decides they're a threat to national security or it deems them to be unproductive. Those who are not convicted of an actual crime can be detained in these camps for up to 3 years. But since they are not convicted of an actual crime, they do not have any judicial recourse. And about 70% of those prisoners who finish their sentences wind up staying at the labor camps anyway to keep working. The prisoners are not paid and sometimes work 12 hours a day. Those who fail to produce are beaten or tortured. There's been an outcry from nations around the world about the use of slave labor, but China has gotten around that by first denying it happens and then giving special privileges to so-called legitimate businesses that utilize camp labor, or in a sense, labor laundering the manufacture of those cheap goods. Several million people are believed to be imprisoned and forced to work like this. The Chinese government does not permit inspection of these facilities, so there's really no good way for anyone to determine which products sold in America are made with slave labor. But the reason they can be sold so cheaply here, those products that is that in most cases, labor costs are at or near zero. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign. And our guest this morning is Takuma, a former resident of Potosi. We're taking a look into the life of people behind bars in the United States of America. How we treat the least of us determines who we are. And what we're hearing this morning are some very, very disturbing things. I want to get to some of our callers here that have much to say and want to contribute to this conversation. Shirley, good morning,
yes,
and welcome to
the morning. You know, I had a daughter in Chillicothe for 5 years. Mm. And, you know, this wasn't a violent person. She was on drugs and, you know, did a lot of stealing. They put her there for 5 years with the worst of the worst.
Mm.
She said that was, and I didn't have the money to send her, so I had talked to my cousin, but she called crying and stuff. She didn't have money for this and how they would jump on you and stuff. And she didn't want to even ask for a cigarette. But there was a non-smoking facility at that time. One thing it did for her, she's out for 7 years. She says she'll never go back in that pigsty as long as she lives. She's out for drugs. She said one thing it taught her, that she cannot live in that kind of place. Women raping women, guards raping women. She says she's never seen anything like that in her life.
Thank you.
So it is a terrible place to be, and if you don't have money, you are not going to get soap, toothpaste, or anything. So
toilet
I had a cousin of mine who never had kids, would send her money to make sure she gets something.
Mm. Thank you, Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
1-877-920-WGNU. That you hear that about what's happening to the women prisoners?
Yes, I do, and that's typical of what happens to especially the male prisoners. And women are not immune to this type of this what's going on in the prison system. But one of the good things that Shirley said that could be said about prisons, if you ever been to one of them hell holes, for you to get out and go back, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, more times it's unconscious, but if you go back after being in a place like that, it speaks volumes for what's really going on in that person's life.
And also the psychological piece of it, because we were talking off air about just the things that they do to mess with your head, like making a phone call. What is it like to make a phone call to you, to a loved one?
A lot of times it's more trouble than it's worth. I mean, as bad as prisoners like to talk to their friends and relatives, You got to weigh it against this enormous cost.
Well, talk to us about you say it's not, because we only have a few more minutes here. More trouble than what it's worth. What do you mean?
I mean is that the MCI runs the prison telephone system. Anybody know anything about MCI? It's one of the most outrageous, highly exploitative telephone company in the world. And so prisoners and their families have to absorb this cost. Talking to their family members for a few minutes, for instance, might cost $10, $20, $30, $40 or more for 5 minutes of conversation.
And then also when you're on there, there's this voice that keeps coming on. And what does the voice say?
And the voice is a reminder that you are talking to an inmate in a correctional facility.
There's no peace in the conversation.
There's no peace in the conversation, even at night when prisoners try to sleep. There's a guard going around counting these prisoners with big flashlights in their face, waking them up, making sure they're moving and under the pretense that they're not dead. So it's the psychological torture even at night.
So you can't sleep all the way through the night. There will be a guard poking you to see if you're alive.
Exactly. Even at night. So there's no rest. And for people like, if you can get out of these places and stay out, I'm ready to tell you, you need to stay out.
Mm. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi. I realize that at Potosi there's quite a few men there with capital murder crimes. What I'm wondering as far as I understand their confinement is tight and small and everything, but I don't think it's nearly as tight and small as, say, the casket that their victims are in, you know, in the grave.
And I think that we need to talk about what we do. Is it fair that you live in a country that says that because of the crime that you're committed, that means that we can treat you in any kind of way? What does that say about our own sense of morality and our own sense of what is valuable? It's wrong for anybody to harm anybody,
right?
But are you justified in harming somebody because somebody else harmed them, at least from the governmental piece?
And the other piece of that, Liz, is that if people come to do their time because of a crime, and I know Tacoma has always fessed up to what he did and really tried to make amends for that. But what about the folks who were there unjustly? What about the folks who were there because they got an exorbitant amount of time for a crime that similarly a white person would have got? So,
or now how about what Shirley was talking about the fact that her daughter was there for stealing? She got 5 years for stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And does that justify her daughter being having to witness people being raped, or her daughter to be fearful of being raped by guards when she's in prison for stealing? Everybody, and Tacoma, tell me, everybody that's in jail is not there for murdering somebody.
Exactly. A lot of times we talk about places like Potosi. Potosi was built for the worst of the worst. And so, and a lot of these guys, what we talk about, what you consider worse is what they consider people who fight in other prisons. They consider these worse. So they end up in places like Potosi.
Because they fought another prisoner in prison.
Exactly.
And when did that in America become the worst of the worst?
Yeah.
And that gets back to the preconception that people have about what goes on in prison. Like that last caller, all of these little coffins for little people that have been killed. But the fact of the matter is that most people are not in prison because they murdered somebody.
That's exactly correct. The large percentage of people are there for nonviolent crimes.
For nonviolent crimes, for drug use, for stealing from somebody, for things for child support. There are people in prison for not paying child support.
And I know in the cases for women at Chillicothe, most of them are there for economic crimes, you know, bad checks, whatever. And in some cases for killing an abuser, spouse or partner. So I think when you look at the prison system overall, the kind of projection that comes out is exactly what this last caller has internalized. And that's so skewed that it really doesn't. It keeps people from wanting to really kind of help folks who are in prison, because that thing is, well, all of them are murderers. No, there aren't. And
particularly women. Women, it even goes against what you biologically understand women to do. If we have a women's prison that's filled with women, it's because society has said, you know what, we can make a whole lot of money by putting these folks in prisons too. We can send their babies away to other people. We can make money for they have to make phone calls too.
Exactly.
They got to buy stuff at canteens
exactly.
too. We can make money off these people.
And what a lot of people don't understand, prisons are not nice places to be. A cell consists of probably an 8 by 6 feet area, probably the size of somebody's bathroom. Imagine you having to live in a space like this size for the rest of your life.
We see a lot of movies out here. We read books about Malcolm X when he was in jail. He talked about books that he was able to read. We see movies where prisoners are building libraries, like The Shawshank Redemption, where people are building libraries. How easy is it to get a book today?
It's not too hard. However, the gains that a lot of the prisoners made in the 50s and 60s and 70s are being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the access that they have to law libraries and to libraries in general are being taken away daily by the federal courts. Prisoners are being more restricted to their cells than ever before.
So that's what I mean. Access to a book is not the same as it was 10, 15,
no,
20
not.
Years
no,
ago.
No, it's not. And the gain that a lot of the prisoners fights that they fought in court and literally, you know, getting their head banged in is just was off and off.
Yeah. And it used to be, Liz, away. That you could actually, I could send Tacoma a book.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that
anymore.
It has to come from the publisher. And even when it comes from the publisher, it's going to be the decision of some guard or somebody to say he's getting that book.
That's right. They censor everything, even letters that the prisoners write. Be mindful, listeners and family members, that you just can't say anything you want to say in those letters because they do read them.
And even though
they cannot reach out to the listeners, family members, they can sanction the inmate for receiving such literature. and such. They can punish the inmate for a description of a letter that somebody sent them.
And we only have a minute or two left here. Jamal, I know that you had some shout-outs that you wanted to do.
Yeah, I want to remind people that we'll be seeing the videotape and having a discussion about the American Justice segment on the Bridge murders. That will be at Legacy Books at 7 p.m. on August 28th. And then we are preparing for the big birthday bash for Reggie for his 35th birthday on August 31st at Heman Community Center. That starts at 8. So we'll talk a little bit more about that at the next show. And I just really want to thank people for all of the expressions of sympathy for Kika Matos's father, who died last week. That's why she wasn't on the show. And he was cremated, and his ashes were sent back to Puerto Rico. So thank you for those well wishes for Kika.
And also, don't forget Saturday, the Urban Institute meets at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. We have a few more copies of A Loose Change to hand out. Also, we formed our committees. If you want to join up in the committee and begin the hard work, well, we have a schools committee. We have a political committee. We have, if you want to find out what kind of committee, send me an email or come on down to the Urban Institute on Saturday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Takuma, thank you so much for having me.
And I'd like to give a shout out to all of the Sloan brothers down in Potosi and even the sisters too who are incarcerated now, especially the Cornell and Reggie. Stay strong.
All right, now Takuma, thank you so much. Jamala, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back same time next week. I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls, your comments, your questions, your concerns. Stay with me.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We'll start off with a test this time. How many planets are in our solar system? If you say 9, you're wrong.
With the help of Schoolhouse Rock, we all learned there are 9 planets.
Pluto, little Pluto is the farthest planet from our sun.
Astronomers now say 8 after they demoted Pluto to dwarf planet.
The best definition I can think of for a planet is that it's the big dog in its neighborhood of the solar system.
And UCLA astronomer William Moore says Pluto is not.
It's very tough to let Pluto in without letting in a lot of other things.
Scientists briefly considered letting in those things and expanding the list of planets to 12. But now Pluto has failed to make the cut. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
If you're a woman and you're over the age of 18, you will soon be able to walk into almost any pharmacy in the U.S. and get the morning after pill over the counter.
The manufacturer of Plan B, Bar Laboratory, says it hopes to begin over-the-counter sales of the emergency contraception to women over 18 by the end of the year. Younger women will still need a prescription to get the morning after pill, which, if taken within 72 hours of unprotected sex, can significantly lower the risk of pregnancy.
President Bush recently endorsed the over-the-counter sale of Plan B for women over the age of 18, over 18, which angered many right-to-life groups. That was ABC's Pam Coulter, by the way. The National Weather Service will look into several reports of tornado sightings in northeastern Indiana. The area was pelted by strong storms yesterday. Severe weather also brought down trees and power lines in parts of Texas. The government says home sales fell to their lowest point in over 2.5 years last month. New home sales were down 4.3%. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 18 points, up 18 points in early going. The Nasdaq up 8. This is ABC News.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time Nationwide Clearance Event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the 5-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota Time event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on our public monthly single passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 5-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup.
It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paint starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Hollywood's gearing up for TV's biggest night. ABC's Dave Alpert has a preview of this weekend's Emmy Awards.
They've rolled out the red carpet for Sunday night's Emmys.
There it goes.
Television Academy Chairman Dick Askin announced the show will include a tribute to pioneering producer Aaron Spelling.
Taking part in the tribute are Joan Collins from Dynasty, Stephen Collins from Seventh Heaven, and Heather Locklear from Melrose Place.
And in what promises to be one of the night's most emotional moments, Dick Clark will make his first public appearance in almost a year as he's honored by the Emmys. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Los Angeles.
So you're thinking about one of those spur-of-the-moment, middle-of-the-night Las Vegas weddings. Guess what? You're going to have to wait until morning. Starting next Wednesday, you won't be able to get a marriage license from midnight till 8 a.m. City officials say it'll save the Marriage Bureau about $200,000 a year. It might also keep some couples who might otherwise have tied the knot too hastily out of divorce court. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Illinois has its first confirmed West Nile death of the year. The Illinois Department of Public Health reports that a man in his 60s from Will County died yesterday. Health officials are also confirming the second case of the mosquito-borne illness in St. Clair County this year. This latest case is a woman in her 30s. There have been 15 human West Nile cases in Illinois this year. Illinois led the nation in 2002 with 884 West Nile cases and 66 deaths. A former Lincoln County Circuit Court employee will spend the next 5 years on probation for taking money from the judicial circuit. Lenora Johnson was given a 5-year suspended sentence yesterday and will also have to pay more than $3,800 in restitution. Attorney General Jay Nixon says Johnson collected funds for the court but never deposited them into Lincoln County's bank account. Finally this hour, the United Way of Greater St. Louis is hoping to raise $66 million for its 2006 campaign. Carrie Zakoski, a spokesperson for the United Way, says the money will be used locally.
Goes to support 200 health and human service organizations in the bi-state region that covers anywhere from St. Charles to St. Louis City and St. Louis County over into Illinois.
The fundraising campaign officially starts on September 6th and wraps up at the end of October. To make a donation, log on to PledgeUnitedWay.org. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Group Health Plan. Northbound 270 from 55 to Tesson Ferry. There's an accident that's been cleared. Eastbound 44 at Antire. There's a vehicle on fire believed to be a tractor trailer. Eastbound 70 at Jennings Station. There's an accident that's been cleared. There's a number of areas where you have construction going on throughout the major metropolitan area. St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and the Metro East. So just use caution as you roll through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Group Health Plan. Group Health Plan has individual health insurance just for you with the coverage you want, the doctors you know, and the prices you can afford. Call your broker or visit ghp.com to learn more today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, it's sunny, high in the lower 90s today, mostly clear, low around 70 this evening. Friday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny early, becoming mostly cloudy, is 50% chance of showers, high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field
is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, drop down the sky. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, drop down the sky. Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Dodge, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Liz?
Dodge from Chicago. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I used to live in St. Louis a few years ago. Then I moved. Y'all was talking about the prison system.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had something to add. Are you all still discussing that now?
Go right ahead, Dodge. Ask your question. I don't have guests in my studio anymore, but we can talk about it.
Okay. All right. Well, what people have to understand, you know, about the prison industrial complex, is that I think the problem is, Liz, is that your real criminals are outside your system, running your system, like your police departments who falsely accuse black men, your courts, you know, your all-white juries, your prosecutors, and your governors. You see, what amazes me is that not only should these guys not get in the death penalty or should they be in prison, they got these guys in prison on faulty evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what happens, Liz, I think another thing that what people have to understand about the prison industrial complex is that they're using these guys in prison. They get free labor out of these guys. They put them in prison, and they may have them build tables, chairs, and furniture. And also, you have a market. It's a market. Liz, if you've got all these people in prison, and it costs what, $60,000 to $70,000 a year to house these guys. So you're getting $60,000 to $70,000 a year. So you're making money off of these guys. You know, like when they have to sell the prisons soap, food, clothing, and shoes. So you have a market there. And also what amazes me, Liz, is when these guys get out of prison, they want mostly all these black guys in prison, but when they get out, they can't vote. They strip you of your voting rights. They strip you of your employment rights. And they strip you of your housing rights. And then they put these guys right back in that same neighborhood. They won't give them a job. These guys get frustrated.
Well, they won't give them access to jobs. They put up so many barriers for people. How is it that your credit rate is going to determine whether or not you get a job?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that it's outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous, the barriers that are put up that say to people, you know what, you need to get back in prison because there's no place for you outside of it.
You're right. You're 100% right. They just go right back in. It's a cycle, you know. And another thing, too, Liz, is that when they get out of prison, see, if you look at, the black communities, when I was in St. Louis and I see it in Chicago, is that any black neighborhood you go to, black people don't own any businesses. We don't control nothing.
Well, no, that's an overbroad statement. There aren't enough. I have an advertiser right now, black owned Sears, on my show. So to say that we don't own any business is an overstatement. To say that we don't own enough business is more accurate about it. And the challenges that confront us are unique to our culture.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I meant. We don't have enough. See, when they get out and then, you know, a lot of times when they want to go for a job, you know, when, you know, white people see that, you know, they say, well, this guy was in prison, they won't hire you. And you go to the black community and there's not much there for them. You know, we just don't.
Well, that's one of the things that makes it so important for people to support black owned businesses, because black owned businesses hire black people. There are plenty of white people that have, with 2 million people in jail in the United States of America, there are plenty of white folks that who have family members that are in jails too, but they hire those family members when they come back. Some of them do. So we need more businesses in our community, and to support more businesses in our community, because we help families,
black
people,
right,
that look like us.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
All right, now. Thanks for your call. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Listen, folks, I am Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We will be back. You need to stay with me. Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, big screen televisions, little screen televisions, everything that you need. Customer service that is unbelievable. Deals that are just will blow you away. My name is Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears and get your shop on, you tell Jerome Williams, I told you to.
I'm Comptroller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy. Cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Cause all I ever had.
Redemption songs. 1-877-920-WGNU. Redemption songs. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I would like for you to take a minute this morning, if you would, to help me with what I feel is the most disturbing thing I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Yes, coming out of Washington and the White House.
Okay.
Since Harry Truman. So that tells you how many presidents I've sucked at. But this thing of the president signing statements, are you familiar with?
Absolutely.
Well, help me. How could a president sign a bill that has went through the House of Representatives, the Senate, the conference committee, they worked out all their problems, they take it to the president, and he signs the bill and then makes a statement about what he does not like about it and what he will not enforce in it? Does this have any effect on that law? In the, no, I'm certainly no constitutional scholar, but what happens then? Does this mean anything, or is this?
Oh, absolutely, it changes he says what he's going, what's going to be enforced, and what the signing bills say what's going to be enforced and what's not. He changes it. Absolutely.
Well, then this cannot be constitutional in any way. What do we need with a Congress? Or at all, mm-hmm. if we have a president who's mm-hmm. going to say what he's going to do. And is this maybe some of the reason why they're doing these things and saying they have the right to do them?
No, not all of them are as a result of the signing statements that he makes on different laws that have been passed. That's also what keeps him from having to veto a lot of these things, because he's changing.
Why? You don't need a veto.
Veto.
I didn't worry about it because I didn't think he would. But you don't need a veto if you're going to take out what you don't like
exactly.
in the law and leave in what you want.
And if you can. I mean, because you can. Obviously, in the stem cell piece, he could not. There were things that he could not take out to make it what he wanted it to be. So, hugely problematic. Nobody has done it like he has. But these are not the signing agreements are not what has allowed him to do some of the other things that he's done.
Where is the hearings? Where is the Senate committees? Where are the
lawsuits?
The Republicans that are supposed to oversee, since they are in power. What is going on, and why hasn't there been an investigative report? Do you think there's someone you could bring on the air to explain this to me, and I hope other people, what is going on here with this signing statement?
Well, you know what, I think that we are far along enough for there to be a serious discussion about this, that I will absolutely get on that.
And if there's somewhere where we can get copies of every signing statement he's made,
that's a great question.
To see what he took out of the law.
That's a great, great, great question.
Thank you.
All right, thanks,
Goodbye.
Bob. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You're on the wake up call.
Yes, ma'am. Liz, I'd like to know the difference between the Civil War and the war. President, in his speech, was saying that we're not close to a civil war.
You know what? I think, Warren, I think that is such an unfair question. You are asking me to crawl up into the recesses of George W. Bush's mind and try to make sense out of his conclusion. I cannot do that.
No,
I don't want to do that.
I'm not in that. I want to know the difference between war and civil war. This is what I'm calling you about. I've just made that statement because he was at this conference making this statement and so on. I was just on a quoting guy.
I understand, and that's what I'm saying. So when you ask me the question of what is a civil war, as George Bush says, this is not a civil war, and the answer to that or the explanation for that can only come from understanding what George Bush understands a civil war to be. And in order to find that information, I don't want to go where I would have to go. In terms of what is a civil war, well, some of the indications of what a civil war is whether or not the people that came there, the United States, are they fighting the original people that they were there sent there to fight? Or are the people that they are sent there to fight and protect, are they now fighting the Americans? And are they fighting each other? So what do you think in terms of whether or not this is a civil war in Iraq? Who's the enemy?
The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's fighting the Americans? The insurgency, which would be the Iraqis.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
So go right ahead. You had another question?
Yes, ma'am. When you were speaking about this lynching that we had, what part of Missouri did that take place?
That would have been in Valley Park.
And what part of Missouri would that be? That would be in the South County, North County, or West County?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was Southish County, I think.
Yes. All right, then. Thank you for
all
your
right.
time.
All right. My pleasure. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, this is Jamala.
Hey, Jamala.
You know what? The caller from Chicago reminded me that during the last election, there were a number of complaints that former inmates could not vote, that somehow they were eliminated from a roll. And so we need to be able to document that. So if that happened to anybody that's listening or they know somebody, please call 367-5959 so that we can document that, because there's misconceptions about who can vote in Missouri as it relates to being a former inmate.
You know what, Jamala? If you go to, and I'd like your assessment on this, go to the City of St. Louis Board of Elections on the website. And on the website, the way that they answer the question about that, it's misleading. If you just stop at that sentence, when the question is, can I vote as an inmate if I am off of parole, or if I am, read the sentence and read the paragraph and see if you think that that is misleading.
Okay.
Because the bottom line is that if you're off paper,
mm-hmm.
if you're off parole, if you're off probation and you didn't have a conviction that had anything to do with voter fraud, you can vote in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can vote.
Absolutely. But then there's a lot of inmates that are being told you can't ever vote.
That's fact.
And so they have not even tried to vote because
that's
what they were told.
That's
so we
fact.
Need to really clear up that misconception, and I definitely will go to the website.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Mr. Davis, good morning.
Yes, Liz, you don't know how much of a teacher you are. I was taking two young fellas to school this morning because they missed their bus, and they were listening to you and Jamala, you know, while I had you on. But when you brought the fella on that had been to prison and gone through those things, those guys got quiet.
Did they really?
I never had to say a word to them about keeping quiet or turning off of their phones or anything. They listened and, oh boy, and had many, many questions after your program went off. And so it was an educational time for them. And and they said that they were going to tell some of the fellas at the school about what they heard about what goes on in prisons. And that, so I think it really made a terrific impression on them.
You just never know who and how you're going to touch.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, those guys were just as quiet as they could be, listening to every word that fellow was saying.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yes. So maybe there is a Stay It Straight program out here that somewhere that you can get a hold of that. You know, goes on. Maybe sometimes you just have them on your show.
I like scared into knowledge, okay? I like
yes.
scared into knowledge because
boy,
they're.
I tell you, that was such a educational thing for those guys and that. And it just so happened, you know, it wasn't nothing that I had planned for them or anything, you know, because they kind of reject that sometimes when you want to take them places and show them what's going on.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Very good, Liz.
Thank you so much.
I tell you. And Jamala.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Takuma. Takuma as well. He's the one that he's the voice that caught their ear. He's the voice that caught their ear. Carfo.
Liz?
Yes.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Liz. I was wondering, two quick questions. Do you know if Levees Broke is coming back on cable anytime this month?
29th of what month is this? August. The 29th of August is coming on for all 4 hours. And then also I'm going to be showing that, we're going to be showing that at the Urban Institute, not this week, but next week.
Okay.
We're going to be showing it.
Okay. And you as a dynamic woman, I'd like to get your opinion on this. Which one is a better documentary? That 9/11 movie, Loose Change, or The Levees Broke? What is your opinion on that?
I've only seen one half of it. I have to see the other half of it. I think it's like comparing, I don't even know that you can say that the one is better, because they both do a fabulous job of bringing the information and bringing the perspective and bringing the facts to your assessment of what really happened. I think that they both answer a lot of questions about what happened on this day. On the days that Katrina hit, what happened? What really happened? And I think that the title that Spike Lee chose, The Day the Levees Break, really brings to your mind what the question is. What happened?
Right.
Okay, it's not about Katrina hitting. Right. It's about what happened when the levees broke.
Right. And listen, Tim, you missed the first half of it?
No, I missed the second half of it.
Oh, second half. Oh, okay.
The second half.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. Because who's the African-American woman in there, kind of black complexion, the one that's really putting it down? You remember her?
I can't.
She had a sister.
Okay, the name is escaping me right now. I'll try to think on that.
Okay.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Okay.
Listen, folks, my name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. I'll be back at you. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I've had a home with no privacy. I
your name. You came, you did just what you said. For that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me. For that I'll love you forever.
Well, welcome back. A promise is a promise. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Okay. This is, I try to bring you information that will inform you, that will empower you, that will give you, provide maybe some tools to address some things, to get you thinking upon, pondering upon, acting upon some issues out here. I am looking at newspapers today. I really looking at these papers. And quite frankly, I don't think that they're telling you everything that you you need to know. Or you need to, maybe it's not what you need to know, but in as much as putting it together in a usable place for you. We're having a serious housing sale decline. And I would venture, I would go so far as to say an unprecedented slump, dump, drop in housing sales. Unprecedented in the time and the intensity of these sales. And what I think is not being put in perspective for you, drop in home sales put pressure on prices. This is on the front page of the money section of USA Today. Home sales posted an unexpectedly sharp drop last month to the lowest level since January 2004. Home prices fell in all regions of the country but the South. And they will continue through 2007. You need to understand the ramifications of that, or to consider the possible ramifications of this. There's an article that came out of Market Watch by a man by the name of Rex Nutting. And he believes he's stepping out on Front Street here. He's saying that the United States is headed for a recession that will be much nastier, much deeper and more protracted than the 2001 recession. And he wrote this. He drew this statement. He stepped out on Front Street on this. And the person that wrote this is Noriel Rubini. He's the president of Rubini Global Economics. He wrote this, Rubini wrote this after the National Association of Realtors reported yesterday that the sale of existing homes fell 4.1% in July, while the inventories, the houses that are out there, soared to a 13-year high and prices flattened out. Okay? Now, what he is saying is that this is the biggest housing slump in the last 4 or 5 decades. He's saying in 50 years. And he says this because every single housing indicator is in free fall, including now housing prices. He said the decline in investment, how much money people are going to be investing in the housing market, he said that it will exceed the drop in investment when the NASDAQ collapsed in 2000 and 2001. And then what he says, when he gets to this point about this is going to be a horrible recession based upon what's happening in the housing market, he says the impact of the bursting of the housing bubble will affect every household in America, not just the few people who own significant shares in technology companies during the dot-com boom. Remember when they had all that dot-com bloodshed? If you didn't have any stocks in dot-com, you weren't really significantly impacted. Not like that. housing affects everybody. He says, housing prices are falling in the Midwest, which never experienced a bubble. And he says this is a scary signal of how much pain the drop in household wealth could cause. Now, this guy Rubini is a professor of economics at New York University. He was a senior economist in the White House and the Treasury Department during the late 1990s, and his firm focuses largely on global macroeconomics. Now, understand that this dude is standing alone in predicting a recession next year. He's standing alone. But what he bases it on, and check this out, This slump is enough by itself to trigger a U.S. recession, and its effect on real estate investment, wealth, and consumption and employment will be more severe than the tech bust that triggered the 2001 recession. Why? Because housing has accounted and directly and indirectly. Check this out. Why is it going to be this bad? Because housing accounts either directly or indirectly for 30% of employment growth. That means employment in retail, employment in manufacturing and producing goods. And he said, in the past year, feel this, y'all. He said, in the past year, consumers spent about $200 billion of the money they pulled out of their home equity. And so they pulled all these money out of their houses. Now, sales of consumer durables such as cars and furniture have weakened. They spent the money. As the housing sector slumps, the job and income and wage losses in housing, if all of the jobs, the income, and the wage impacts on our economy and housing, jobs, wages, and income is 30% of what we got, oh, yeah, there's going to be some serious pain in 2007. Oh, yeah. And add to the mix that we are going to be facing hugely high energy prices, hugely higher interest rates, stagnant wages, negative savings, and high debt levels. Why? $200 billion equity. People pulled the money out of the equity of their houses. There are some debt levels out there. And people are putting more and more on their credit cards because they had no money left in their houses. And we're not even going to talk about these crazy mortgages that people got themselves into during this really short housing boom. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You heard it here. You heard it here. You heard it here. Y'all need to be putting your little pennies away. Y'all need to, as best you can, get your bicycle out, put your pennies away, because it's coming. It's coming. And all of y'all thinking about buying a house right now, and you have the money to buy a house right now, I say, hold on. Because it's going to be a really, really intense buyer's market real soon here. Hold on. 6 months from now. Hold on. Hold on. It's going to be a buyer's market. It's going to be a buyer's market. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Dimitri.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Great. You were talking about Potosi earlier.
Yes, I was.
Can I tell you about an experience I had down there?
Sure.
I went down there with permission from the warden down there to start an art program for the inmates in Potosi. And I can tell you that when I drove down there, when I arrived at where the prison was, you turn off the road. Potosi prison sits in the middle of about 10 or 15 acres of flat ground. It is desolate. Just weeds grow there. And I say weeds grow, but it's very sparse. And first appearance of the prison is like a medieval castle. And it's all metal, and it actually gives me the creeps. I mean, as an artist, I've never seen anything so ominous. And I've seen a lot of things in Europe and that where people were held in prison. But this certainly gives you the creeps when you go up to it. And it's gray metal all over, and it has razor wire, you know, lacing the entire top of the prison. So I went in there, and I'll make this as brief as possible. I went in there, and I told them that I was the person who was going to start an art program for the inmates so that those people who had talent had a chance to do something with their talent. And I was shown to the art room. And the minute I went into the art room, I asked them, could I teach the inmate oil painting or watercolors? And they said, no, you can't. And I said, why not? They said, well, oil paints can be used for other reasons, and paintbrushes have metal on them and so forth. And so they excluded everything except pastels. And pastels are very crumbly, and they're very short, and it's very difficult for people who are new at art to try to manage them. And then I asked to see some of the art. Well, there was very little art, and I could tell by the room that it hadn't really ever been used. There was no paint on the easel or floors or anything. So I concluded from that this art room was a showcase for people who were visiting there, like officials, and saying, mm-hmm. oh, look, we have programs for the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't allow them to use it. And while I was down there, I heard this. You were talking about Dr. Death. One of the volunteers down there, I had lunch with them in the cafeteria. Incidentally, every time you move from one place to another, rolling doors open and close in front of you and behind you with a loud sound. So every step, almost every 10 or 15 steps, you hear this loud banging, and you're isolated between those two doors. It's scary.
Mm. All right.
I just wanted to say this about execution. One of the volunteers down there told me that the doctor who was supposed to apply the serum through the tube to the person being executed fumbled it, and the warden just pushed him aside and said, look, stupid, let me do it. And he did it, apparently. That's one of the things that support this, the thing that you and Jamala Rogers were talking about, Dr. Death. I don't think he's a very competent person.
He is not, man, and that's why no hospital would hire him.
That's right.
Thanks for your call, Dimitri.
Thank you, Liz.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Iraq is in the middle of a tremendous fuel shortage. Attacks on refineries and pipelines by insurgents have created a lack of various products. The official price for gasoline is $1 a gallon, but it's very hard to find any. And people are turning to black market sources and having to pay as much as $4 a gallon just to get any at all. Recently, a gas station in the Green Zone, the most secure part of the country, ran out of fuel.
This crisis is taking place in the middle of summer, when temperatures are at least 115 degrees, and fuel demand to power generators and air-conditioned homes is at peak demand. It is a strange situation because Iraq has the third largest proven oil reserves in the entire world, exceeded only by Saudi Arabia, yet it cannot provide for its own needs. And Dateline Chicago. Nurses in the Windy City are upset over a huge labor issue. The American Hospital Association is telling the National Labor Relations Board that tens of thousands of nurses are actually supervisors and therefore have no rights offered by their unions. Some 200 nurses from around the country took part in a protest at the American Hospital Association headquarters in Chicago earlier this month. The cases going on before the Labor Relations Board concern charge nurses. These people organize work to be done and communicate orders on their shifts. They also delegate work to other nurses, but they have no authority to hire, fire, or discipline any workers. The Hospital Association wants the Labor Board to expand the definition of what a supervisor actually is. There is concern among union members that the board may go against them because it has a number of Bush appointees on it. The Hospital Association says charge nurses have to consider themselves as part of management because where they are permitted to unionize, they're more likely to take the side of unionized nurses during labor problems. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move when the engineer wanted a bite to eat. We left the monkey sitting on the...
Around the world, around the world, and behind the story. Behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
I'm late for work again. But if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last today. And then you call me, and it's not so bad, it's not so bad. And I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Hello on the car phone.
Hey, is it a backdoor draft started already?
Hello.
Now?
Hello.
Individual ready reserve Marines, come on down.
Hello. People that have been out for as long as 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years.
Yep.
Well, I think 4 years and 364 days.
Yep. They said 2,500, and I think I've heard a number as high as 11,000.
Ain't that some stuff?
Yep.
Ain't that some stuff?
Do
hello.
Do you think these people are going to ever understand this whole war situation lives in Iraq?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And the reason why I believe that people are understanding it and that people are getting it, because of what the polls are saying, and I also think because of what gas prices are doing to people, and I also think because of the recession that I believe is going to be coming next year. I think it's going to be clear to people where to place their anger. If there isn't money for health care, it's because we're spending $1 billion a minute on this war. I'm exaggerating.
My whole question was going to what's really... pointed at Ronald Dumsfeld and the rest of the boys.
Ronald Dumsfeld?
Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
All right, now.
You know, I'm sitting up here saying to myself, now hold it. The Iraqis knew what the deal was when America came into Iraq.
Mm.
They already knew that they couldn't do anything.
Mm.
So what did they do? They took their uniforms off, put their traditional clothes on, stood on the side of the road, and waved at the conquering heroes as they flew into Baghdad.
Mm.
And then after they got in there, what happened? The boy landed on the carrier saying, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
And the work just started. So now what are these people doing?
Wait a minute. Don't forget that he strapped himself into that creepy little outfit.
Yeah,
and then
wasn't
stood
it really
in,
cute?
No, it was creepy. Creepy little outfit, and then he looked us in the face and said, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. All plastered on the carrier. But my thing is this, Liz. These people are winning the war, and the reason that they're winning the war is because of arrogance. Mm-hmm. They sit up there and we got all of this might. These people are draining us dry.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you think it's that same arrogance that's shared by Israel and how they were going to go in there and kick the butts of the Hezbollah?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and who came home and whose citizens have turned against them in their execution of the war on Lebanon? Israelis have turned against their own government saying, "What we want an internal report. We want a report on why this turned out the way that it did."
Liz, but what people don't realize, the resources that Israel is using is coming from us.
That's
the
right.
Same people that are over in Iraq wasting our material, our manpower, and the whole nine yards. And so what these people are doing, they're basically winning the war by knocking us off a little bit at a time. A few men over here, a few weapons over there, and then we sit up there and say, oh, it's going to last 10 years. We can't afford to go 10 years, and they know that.
Haste makes waste. All right, now.
Have a good one, Liz.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
I'm a black senior citizen, Liz. I thank you 100 times for mentioning the topic of the economy where it involves our people. And please continue these advisories from time to time. And one thing I want to say about these home equity loans, the people that we hear on the media and in the papers for these home equity loans, they are not the people who will ultimately hold the mortgage. Those people are just sales operations that they get these mortgages, mostly from black people right now. That's what I'm concerned about. And they sell them off to outstate banks. They discount them and maybe get a quarter of a percent on the mortgage or half a percent. But they're out of the deal. But I really fear, I have the same fears that you seem to have, that if a recession comes, black people will be losing homes all over the place.
And you're talking about just your standard equity or your standard mortgage. There are some predatory mortgages that people have bought into. There are some balloon mortgages that people have bought into. If we have a recession, people with balloon mortgages are going to be losing their homes left and right. And even if we don't have a recession, people are going to be losing their homes because there isn't money out there and there aren't jobs out there.
And, from people in my age group, we know that old, saying about we black people are the last to be hired and the first to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us out here feel comfortable and relatively good jobs and so forth. But believe me, like you say, if this recession comes, which I believe is going to come, we're going to be hit awfully hard.
Mm.
And these second and third and fourth mortgages that they're selling, balloon mortgages, they're going to spell our going down, into just a financial ruin. So please keep up that topic off and on. We need that advice.
Thank you so much.
And thank you.
All right. Take care. Please don't forget the Urban Institute meets Saturday at 9 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. We have our committee set, education, we have public safety, we have reparations, we have and I will run through the list of them tomorrow, but you need to come on out. We're filling up our committees now and getting busy about the work that we need to confront, bringing the information, and changing the political climate of the city of St. Louis and beyond. Malik, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. Liz. I'm outstanding.
You know, my topic was radio revolutionaries. In the 1950s, 1956, there wasn't no black talk shows. You didn't have even the NAACP didn't have a hold. It was about the strongest thing you had, and it was weak as water. We were out here on the battlefield in 1956 confronting police and every other thing to try to get the rights for black people to be black even. Now, afterwards, your radio revolutionaries came along trying to master this thing that they were no part of. I love a revolutionary that hears what happened and works upon it. But you got some organizations rising now, Liz, that are money conscious and money hungry. I mean, on our side of the fence.
I hear you.
Yeah, and this is not going to work. We're going to have to first learn how to be spiritual brothers and sisters and start doing what we talk about.
All right.
You understand me, Liz?
Yes, I do.
I'll talk with you Monday.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye now.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz.
Yes.
I was listening to the gentleman that was speaking with Jamala, and one thing he said that you rarely hear, most people that I hear that go and get incarcerated, they say they were innocent. And he came on and said he was guilty, which I respect how he spoke. Liz, you can be possible. That man should be going around to schools and institutions where there are children and speaking with them. Does he do that?
Mm. I don't know.
Well, I think he would be a good example of a person that could really speak and help young boys and young people to turn their life around.
Mm.
Liz, there was a young man that I knew that got incarcerated, and he got out, and he got a job. He was speaking of him getting jobs. He got a job, and something had happened in the area where he lived, and they came and got him on his job, and he was innocent. And when he went back to work, they didn't even let him have his job. So they will go on their job sometime when a crime is committed and take them off, and sometimes that makes it hard for them, too. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call, Mary. We got to go. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, my name is Liz Brown. Stay strong.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men